following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Eric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
Hey, what's poppin'? DealsNadie.com studios are these studios right here featuring the Drew and Mike show, starring yours truly, Drew, Mark Trudy, Zoobs, and Brandon in the house.
Where are we located, though?
Located in the DealsNadie.com studios.
I meant to your east.
Oh, I think we've covered that. I'll get back to it in a few days when people have forgotten who's east and who's west.
Oh, okay.
Mark is to the far east along with Brandon. Zoobs to the west. And Mesa Tacos and Tequilas is east and north of us.
God, you have such a great sense of direction.
I think I'm right on that. Yeah. They're on Main Street between 3rd and 4th, and they're open, and the patio is in full effect, along with the tequila and the tacos and the Mexican food at Mesa. Hopefully some warm sunshine this weekend. They got rockin' rides in Royal Oak all weekend.
Rockin' rides?
Yeah, they got
festival?
These 18 rides. Yeah, it's kind of a kid's thing, but they got some rock and roll there, local bands.
Cool.
Good to see them get some exposure. So, good weekend to be in Royal Oak. Hopefully the weather cooperates. And you can also check out Mesa's $7.99 summer lunch specials being served daily starting now, plus bottomless chips and salsa to go with your fresh-squeezed margaritas and 150 tequilas, the most in the state, and the big screen. So there you go. As we head into the weekend with a little bit of news, Dan Gilbert released from the hospital, and he's going to be in inpatient rehab, and the indication was that it sounds like he's got some strenuous work ahead to pull it back together.
If anybody can do it, can't Dan Gilbert?
You know, I like
he's
to think that.
Very determined individual.
It's really strange what this sort of a story does, because Dan's, I think he's 57 years old, you know, seemingly in the, well, for a guy, a business guy like him, certainly in the prime of his great success, all his plans coming together, and to think that the great equalizer, health, would suddenly make all of that almost null and void,
yeah,
it really puts things in perspective.
Yeah,
because he's got quite a challenge. I mean, I wish him the best, and hopefully they'll keep things going. I'm sure that organization has probably got all they need to do what they need to do, but he's the big dog, and we wish him well. Well, that's a tough one. It's a bitch. And, you know, an in-house rehab sounds like, it's got to be something pretty serious.
And, quote, intensive rehabilitation program.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So today on the show, Gary Graff, there's a lot going on in music this weekend. Also, Bob Page from No Filter Sports, as there's a lot of true crime happening. This is really strange. Maybe we should have True Crime Tuesday or True Crime Thursday.
Hey, good idea.
I'm watching so much ID. I've always got some great stories. I could save them for one day. We could make a benchmark out of it. That way I could bump a benchmark out of Maz Day.
Yeah.
And sponsor. There'll be room for Show and Tell and This Week in Soft Rock.
And Non Sequiturs.
Yeah. Why, by the way, is he allowed to have multiple benchmarks? What pull does he have?
He doesn't tell. No one ever tells him no enough.
Well, he's exhausting. He wears you down. How many?
Well, whenever you do tell him no, too, he just protests so much that he just, you know, acquiesce to whatever it is.
I have told him no shout outs so many times, and also that I don't like owing people things, but somehow things always keep coming to the show and to him.
But when you laugh at it, you know, that reinforces. Do you understand that kind of behavior?
I realize
reinforces that sort of.
Somehow we turn his misbehavior into decent radio, but it's work, and I don't get it. Why shouldn't he have to prepare like anyone else?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know.
Why is he allowed to not fit the show and get away with it?
It's those puppy dog eyes.
No. No. He does prepare when he comes here with you.
Well, he watches TMZ and The Bachelor.
Yeah.
I do love his drops, I have to admit. Okay, first of all, Neil Rubin did a great story.
Man, that's not a good story.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's about the Scandoritos. The Scandos! Scando!
A Scando
Is that
Scandal.
Their nickname?
Yeah, everyone. Well, I call him Scando. Someone has called them Scando.
Is this going to make it to Dateline or 2020 or ID?
I think it already has.
Has it?
I believe so. I think I've seen it somewhere. I mean, I've read a lot about it. I remember when it happened. Skip Scandarito, the father, was a judge who was trading judicial favors for sex.
It's crazy.
What?
Yeah, got busted, got thrown out in 2000, moved down to Florida, and he was on some commission, and they found out about it after a couple of years, and he got tossed. Mm. And so he sort of went into retirement. Well, Jimmy, little Jim, was his only son and sounded like he lived a good life
Jimmy.
With dad. He liked the high life, the luxury cars, and the young girlfriends.
Okay, not just
the sugar daddy website.
Yeah,
not just any girlfriends. Girlfriends from Brazil.
Yeah, and
hot chicks.
And then all of a sudden, Skip, the dad, is missing, and that's strange because things had gone south for young Jimmy. Who'd made a lot of money in real estate in 2015, and suddenly in 2017, he had his Mercedes repoed, yeah. And he was driving for Lyft and Uber.
Oh, my God.
Didn't sound very Scandal-like.
And his mom's Prius.
Yeah, and his mom's Prius, who had passed also, I believe.
That's what Neil did so well with his article.
He really did. No, Neil.
Details that...
Neil gets...
He knows what people like.
Yeah, there's some little things in Neil's stories that always make them more interesting. Anyway, Skip is missing all of a sudden. The police are like, I'm not so sure we believe Skip's missing. And they follow little Jim, and they see him throwing some luggage in a dumpster. Uh-oh. And then he's burying some 30-pound, I don't know, they drums or something in a golf course?
Yeah.
And what do you know? They're body parts of his dad. It's crazy.
Huh. He also did that mistake where he went shopping and bought duct tape and bleach.
Oh, yeah. Pine Sol.
Home Depot lots. Cameras.
Yes.
The garbage bags.
Yeah, yeah.
And using his dad's credit card.
Yeah. he remembered to get beer, though.
How entitled are you when you use your dad's credit card to buy the things you need to cover up the murder of your dad? That's not too cool, is it?
No.
No.
Not very smart.
So... Wow.
But he only dismembered him because he died and he freaked out.
He didn't know
out.
What to do. He freaked out.
He was cocaine,
coked up.
So totally,
and he was,
totally yeah. understandable.
And his dad was doing blow, too. That's what he said. His dad collapsed over a plate of blow, which they didn't find any blow in him. So apparently he shit it out when he died.
That's my dad.
Or it's all in the head they can't find.
Oh, yeah. How could
maybe
they?
It's in his nose.
Yeah, maybe it's all in his nose. It hadn't gotten in his bloodstream yet.
Oh,
took
that
a,
makes
he had a
sense.
Huge line. He hoovered up a giant line and just died.
Sounded like the jury bought that.
Does that make forensic sense at all?
I'm not clear on that. I don't think so. But well, they didn't find his head.
If it was
so,
there, it wouldn't have killed him, though.
First of all, I noticed that Henry Baskin is quoted in the story, and Henry's always a good quote. He says, you know, why did they not give an option but first-degree murder and destroying a corpse? Mm. Which I guess he's going to get up to 15 years for that. For destroying the corpse. But they found him not guilty of first-degree murder because they had no other option. Huh. And there was no cause of death because it ended the head. So that's the key, I think. If you're going to kill somebody... Boy, I was thinking about that, too. What would I have done if I was young Scando?
Your dad.
I know, but you got to get rid of... You know, the cleaning products are a giveaway. The shopping spree is a giveaway.
I didn't do it!
I mean, he did a good job of getting rid of the head, though. The head's somewhere. Probably some kids playing soccer with it somewhere.
Is the head in Florida?
It's gone.
It's gotta
just
be.
Don't worry about
okay,
it.
Okay, so that's
it's
where
gone.
Got to be in Florida.
Yeah. Alligators.
Why did he get rid of the suitcase and the drums with the body parts the day after he reported him missing? That was a huge mistake because he died on the 28th. He
should've
reported him missing
him
on the
first.
He should have gotten rid of him on the first.
Yeah. Well, maybe he's lazy.
Scando.
But I feel like you're bearing the lead though because he. Didn't murder him and just has the dismemberment, he can still collect the inheritance.
Well, it's getting there.
Oh, sorry.
He, you know, his entitled lifestyle, I thought, really sort of was brought out in the story. And the fact that, yes, he still wants his $800,000 inheritance. And I suspect that's the reason he murdered him, of course. But the jury found him not guilty. Mm. Now, why else would his son be burying his body parts and throwing them in the... What?
Yeah.
Really?
No, he's not just, you know, the cleanup guy.
Who Who murdered him? I mean, I think, shouldn't a jury use some common sense? I mean, is it just beyond a reasonable doubt? Or isn't there any common sense involved in there at all?
No. It was a complete and total exoneration.
You don't cut up your dad's body. Nobody does that.
No. God, no. Well, I mean, if you didn't have anything to do with his death.
So. Why would you panic? Your dad died. He's 74 years old.
Please.
You call 911.
Hey,
you want to get him.
The plate of cocaine.
I didn't do this stuff.
Well, I can
see. He testified. I mean, aren't you proud that he testified? You always want people to testify. And
I'm glad he testified, but I'm not impressed.
Paul Hebert just on Facebook Live said that he went to school with Scando.
Oh, he went to school with Scando?
Yeah.
Cool. Was he entitled back then? Can you answer that question, please?
I'm sure he's still listening.
Well, the interesting thing about Scando is that Bob Page from No Filter Sports became friends with both Scandos years before the murder. So he was also interviewed by Neil. So we're going to talk to him soon. And then the other thing is the Donna Scurvo murder case, which was here in, I think it was 2013 or 14. And Ramsey Scurvo, her son, who she murdered, was a friend of Bentley's.
Oh.
And she was in, he was in classes with Jim Bentley.
Oh, it could have been Jim.
And Jim, it could have been Jim. He also was, Jim is hot. He's angry because ID did an hour story on Diabolical about the Scurvo murder. And he felt that he was in the reenactment. But I think his complaint is that there's no one hot enough in the classroom reenactment to represent Jim Bentley.
Like that could have been me.
Not enough green blobs?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
No,
he didn't have
blobs.
Green blobs then, but that's another interesting story. Donna had Donna was married. They had Jason and Ramsey. They had big plans. They went to private Catholic school. Donna had been a cheerleader and a success. She was a nurse. She and her husband, he started a painting contracting business, and she was determined that the two boys would be professionals, and I guess Jason had bummed her out by getting a blue-collar job, so it was all on Ramsey, and he went to Wayne State, got an accounting degree, and then one night when he was partying his ass off, he fell, hit his head, and apparently he got a head injury. It was one of those borderline ones where he just became very anxious, depressed, His personality seemed to change, but he still was somewhat functional. He did, however, get in a lot of arguments with people. He got fired from his accounting job. So I noticed that they sort of blended these two things together, that he went on disability and became his dad's painting business partner.
Oh.
Well, if you're disabled, how are you doing all that painting?
Well, yeah, but didn't you say it was a head injury? So he could
It was marginal, again.
Okay.
But the point is, he got disability money. In fact, at one point, his mother was declared to be his guardian. Again, he's still getting disability money. And he's getting the painting money, too.
Oh.
So that was probably under the table. I'm just going to take a guess. But I just recently ran into a case where somebody was – I'd been told that someone was disabled. And then they were doing a – I think it was a big concrete job. I'm like, wait a second. I thought that guy was disabled. Like, well, yeah, he is, but he still does stuff on the side.
Everybody does.
Oh, that's interesting.
Side action.
How many people do that? Do they count that against their disability income? I don't think so. So anyway, Dan's health goes south, the father, and they can't do much for him, so they send him home. And Donna, being a nurse, she's supposed to take care of him. Well, they reveal that about 8 months before Dan died, Donna went to her class reunion. Dan was going south fast. He had a medical situation that was only getting worse, and they sort of knew it was going to get bad. They didn't know it was going to get that bad that fast. But her girlfriend said, hey, let's go to our class reunion. It's in 8 months. And what do you know? Donna starts losing weight.
Ooh.
She gets herself a nice dress. She gets a makeup tattooed on her face.
What?
What's wrong with that?
I don't know who does that, but I guess people do it.
But
eyeliner? Or?
Yeah, yeah. It's a bad choice, by the way. Just consumer.
Well, she thought she was getting hotter. A lot hotter.
Sure, sure, sure.
And apparently it was a high school boyfriend she really wanted to see at the reunion. Yeah. And the day after Dan was released from the hospital to come home, he died. And there was a lot of morphine missing. And so Donna blamed Ramsey, Bentley's buddy, for the missing morphine.
Weird.
And said he was suicidal. Ramsey said that she killed him. And Bentley was angry here. He felt at this point in the documentary, he should have, like, they should have shot him with his palms up. You know, like, what's going on? Or, you know, maybe supporting Ramsey. But he was not, I was on the editing room floor, I guess. Donna said he was mentally ill. Anyway, she wasn't charged. But they could have portrayed Bentley at Riff at this time, too, because he was at Riff.
Yeah.
Could have shot him over there. He was doing some acting, too. You know, with the TV commercials?
Yeah.
Did you do a hairstyling TV
He's been in a few.
It was later in life.
Yeah, he did the hair mechanics, and then recently one where he was collecting all those...
Fixing all his air conditioners.
Air conditioners on his roof.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Well, he was livid about not being portrayed here, because I guess he comforted Ramsey, or he wanted to. He thinks he did. Oh. But anyway, Donna went to court, declared Ramsey mentally ill, can't take care of himself, so she is the guardian, and they get state money for that, I suppose. Sure. And... Ramsey, meanwhile, is pissed. He doesn't want a babysitter. He's self-sufficient. And this gets real nasty between them.
Didn't Ramsey live near Marasso? So couldn't Marasso be in the reenactment as well?
And that could have been him, too. Could have been him.
Marasso's not complaining, though. Only Bentley's complaining. Yeah. Maybe he's mad about Marasso, too.
Maybe he's still shaken because it could have been him.
So, you know, she's gone to the high school reunion. She's really thinking about this dick in Texas. And nice. Next thing you know... Well, Dan died. She wants to go back to Texas. But she's got this load. Ramsey, can you tell Paige we'll be a few minutes late? Brandon?
Sure.
Uh-oh. Okay. Oh, boy. No. Brandon's going to yell that. Way to go, Drew.
I can't control that. She's focused on Dick, and Ramsey is just such a pain in the ass. She needs to take him. I probably continue getting the money.
Right,
my
yeah.
guess. Because Ramsey's like, I'm not going. Fuck you. So... Then we know there's a house fire. It's crazy. Ramsey's in the house, and he comes stumbling out, and he's incoherent, and she says, oh, he's on drugs or something. And Ramsey says, well, the only drugs I take are what she gives me, which is Xanax, among other things.
Nice comeback.
Yeah, so anyway, it's crazy. Meanwhile, she's just the cloud over her head is just a giant penis. That's it. and shortly after that, Ramsey is missing.
Oh, I remember this little tale.
And again, Bentley snubbed. Yeah. I guess Bentley thinks he was out searching wildly for Ramsey in the cold.
I remember when Jim wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think he came to work for a couple weeks.
Yeah, no. He was so busy not searching for him.
Yeah, he could have been portrayed at that point. I agree with him.
He could have just reused that one shot with his hands in the air. Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
where is he?
Coming back to it like a bit.
Where is he?
So,
what do you mean she died?
In checking Ramsey's cell phone records, they notice that every family member is calling him repeatedly because he's missing, but not Donna, not the mom. So
what a dumbass. Why didn't she think about that?
I know. People don't. They show their hand eventually, don't they?
Yeah.
Body parts are found in St. Clair County. Then they found the head.
Ugh.
And then Donna was missing. And I would, at that point, I think the search should have been for the giant penis, because you'll find Donna near that. We're searching for a large penis on a 57-year-old man.
An AP.
And then they cut back to Jim going, what, is it mine? Hands up again.
So
an
Donna.
An all penis bulletin.
When they find these body parts, she calls and she says she wants to identify Ramsey. And I said, well, it's 40 miles away. We don't even think it's Ramsey. And she's like, oh, it's crazy. I got mother's intuition. And again, Bentley palms up at this point. I guess he was beside himself. So witnesses end up saying that they saw a silver Chevrolet dumping stuff by the road there. UPS driver identified her car. She's in a gas station video. You want to go to Diabolical?
She was caught really quick, wasn't she?
Oh, she's busting fast. Go to Diabolical because you'll get to hear her. They confront her. She says she wasn't there. Then they confront the pictures of her car there. And she's like, oh, it's crazy. Maybe I was driving around. And, oh, by the way, at this point, they could have shown, just to represent Jim, couldn't they have shown his mom paying a cell phone bill? Show what's going on in Bentley World. While they were going through the cell phone records without her, they could have shown Jim's mom paying a cell phone bill.
Hi, Jim.
That would have been cool.
You.
Where was this at?
About 48:50.
I mean, when did this?
Actually, you know what? Make it around 54. This is when her sister calls her after she's jailed, when she says she needs a lawyer because it's crazy. I don't remember driving there, and I guess I better have a lawyer. So she tells her sister this. I mean, these are some big whoppers. She claims, she's it's so brutal.
Is that her?
Yeah.
Why didn't she have her hair colored? She's going to meet the penis in Texas. She needs to get that old lady look all.
It's true.
Maybe that's what they were into.
Donna ends up declaring herself a hero in the death. She admits that she realizes something happened to Ramsey, that the disappearance is fake, but she's under a lot of pressure. This is quite a story she tells her sister when she calls her in jail.
I think I killed my son. You know me, right? I just don't know what happened, but I did not think you killed your son.
In February 2014,
Bentley's mad they didn't have his call.
Is that Tom Hanks doing the voiceover?
No.
It sounds like Tom Hanks. I'm being dead serious.
I think I killed my son. You know me, right? I just don't know what happened, but I did not think you killed your son.
In February 2014, 60-year-old Donna Scrivo sits sounds in a like prison him. Cell. Charged with discarding her son Ramsey's dismembered body. And on a recorded call with her sister, she makes a startling claim about how Ramsey died.
What happened?
What
happened? That came up the day I was laundry. I went upstairs. And there on Ramsey's room, he was laid out cold. And there was a man, all dressed in black. Totally.
Ski
mask, everything.
Was it Bentley?
No.
Did he kill Ramsey?
They could have shown him nodding, though.
Donna said this
he believes
man dressed in black was strangling Ramsey.
I said, what? Are you doing? And he said, if you don't do just what I saw you do, I'm going to kill Jason, too.
Brother, son.
He didn't point at me. Then the days to follow, he told me exactly what to do.
You don't want
to
lose one. You already lost
one. She lost one son.
He was with her when she came to the police department to file him missing. He made her go shopping and told her what kind of saw to buy. And he wouldn't let her ever be out of his sight.
Donna then claims he cut her son to pieces.
Ugh.
What?
She was in the house when it happened, too.
The worst lie ever.
He beat me up pretty bad.
Beat her up?
And let me help him hang Ramsey's in the lane.
And then finally, he's with her when she goes to dump the body in St. Clair County. And then after all of this is said and done, he leaves, but warns her, if you tell the police, I'll come back and kill the rest of your family.
So she's a hero.
So I don't know where
she
he
saved
is.
The family.
And at first, I didn't want to tell the whole truth. I wanted to make sure Jason was safe. And then when I found out, I told my attorney that he hasn't released it to the press.
For the
it's
record,
a shocking twist.
Jason is safe. Jason lives. So she technically is a hero.
So she's in prison where?
I think she got life, I'm pretty sure.
Did she?
Yeah.
Here in Michigan, then.
Was that drop?
Fucking excuse for a mother.
Was that Simpson drop really low?
Yeah.
Will it sound low when I listen back?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, well. Why is it
Why
so
is
low?
It so
I don't think
out.
It's low at all.
You don't?
Really? What the fuck? I hate that.
Why do we not hear it?
Bob Page coming up on the other true crime event of True Crime Thursday, the Scando family. The Scando family scandal.
Cool.
But first, this word from Trudy.
And Zot Ford. National
DJ Month.
Put Trudy
in charge of Zot Ford so that people who've abandoned Tom Mazzaway there, which is amazing, everyone just decided to quit on him. We're going with a different route. With hopefully Trudy can lure people back there.
Is Gary going to start next Tuesday here?
Gary? I don't know. Good
Gary's
question.
Picking.
Gary should do Tuesdays on the podcast.
Gary. Wow. Well, National DJ Month, National Adopt a Cat Month, National Pride Month, National Iced Tea Month, National Soul Food Month, all of that has one thing in common.
It's all the same month in June.
In June. You are correct, Mark. Hottest deals of the year at Zot Ford and Holly, too. In the jumping month of June, as you may imagine, our friend Maz celebrates each and every June event, most of the time while playing hooky from work.
Oh.
Oh.
No.
How sharper than a serpent's tooth. But when he is at Zot Ford, he can help you lease the all-new 2019 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $99 a month.
Shit, yeah.
Maz or Gary, Maz's personal sales manager, can also help you lease a new 19 Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4 as low as $144 a month.
Wow.
Next. Man,
I need a pickup truck. Regardless if you care to celebrate cats, iced tea, or soul food months, make sure that you celebrate Zot Ford and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County and go see them in Holly or celebrate them and their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Mm. Bullshit.
And better to see that with Yaldo, Dr. Yaldo's LASIK can fix all of the eyeball problems that you might have, one of the safest surgeries in all of medicine, and it's changed the lives of millions of people by allowing them to get 20/20 vision or better without the hassle and poor performance of glasses and contact lenses.
Yeah.
It's about freedom and lifestyle, and Dr. Yaldo, our loyal and heritage Red Shovel sponsor, number one in Michigan, an incredible 30,000-plus people have trusted their eyes to him, and for the majority have already gotten better results than they were hoping for because of the CATS Custom LASIK. The world's most precise, and more patients getting CATS Custom LASIK had better than 20/20 vision. It's called supernormal vision. Only takes a few minutes. It's painless. And you can throw all those contacts and glasses and the other stuff in the garbage. Multifocal lens implants for people 45 plus forever frees you from reading glasses. And it gives you precise far vision and will prevent cataracts from ever forming. You've got nothing to lose by seeing Dr. Yaldo for a free evaluation because it's free. You should get an eye exam every 2 years anyway. Tell them Drew and Mike sent you for an additional discount. Call 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com.
All righty. And father and son, the Scando family song.
Let me Skype in Bob.
All right. It did sound like they were best friends.
It's not time to make a change.
Bob Page from No Filter Sports. They got a new show up, by the way.
Yeah, a new show today.
How was the show today?
Show's great.
So much you have Eli, Denny, and Bob.
Thank you, Denny, yet again.
Oh, Denny left some chocolate?
Yeah, double chocolate, right?
Long gone.
What?
Well, Trudy was starving. Sorry, Drew. Zoobs would not let her eat.
Oh, there is some chocolate left. Brandon, you saved this? Or is this,
yeah, it's for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Keep it away from Trudy. Wow. Is Bob there?
Hi, everybody.
Bob, how are you?
Good. Hi, Trudy. Bob. Nice to meet you, if
Hi,
only
Bob.
Through the magic of the telephone and Skype.
Yeah, your show's great, by the way.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And I see that you follow me on my new Twitter account that guy forced me to open right there.
You love it, though.
It's great, though. You have a lot of great observations. Yeah. They're very illuminating.
Thank you. Aren't you sweet? Will you marry me? Are you single?
Absolutely. You have the stripper pole in your home, though?
No, I'm a little too mature for that. I'm a grown man, actually.
Uh-oh. Wait, the stripper pole, was that in Jim Scandarito's place?
Yeah,
Jimmy.
After his divorce, he put this. Did you ever see the stripper pole, Bob?
Hell yes.
Really?
Did you see
was it an in action?
What happened was we got really drunk one night, and I had this fantastic new thong that I bought,
nice.
And the spirit moved me. And so what I did was I began to climb the stripper pole, and oh my goodness, ooh. When I shimmied down, it was so good.
Wait, where's the Brazilian?
Hey, are we taping this show? Are we taping right now?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, always.
God, you never fucking tell me that. All right.
Bob, you know, anytime we call, we're live. Did the Brazilian wife, because didn't he have a young Brazilian wife?
Well, I mean, young, yes, of course. I mean, Trudy's a lovely young woman, and his Brazilian wife was young, but she wasn't, 22 or 24, okay. 25, right. And she was a professional person. She spoke three languages. Her English was actually fairly good, and she had some job doing international communications with AT&T or something, and she traveled a lot as a result of that.
Next thing you didn't tell me, she wasn't even attractive. See,
I don't know. I mean,
I thought he was on sugardaddy.com. That's the only reason I made the connection that he was on sugardaddy.com, so maybe she came from that world. But no.
I don't know what that thing was. To me, I mean, I thought she was a really nice lady and very stable. The kind of gal, if you love her and you marry her, why wouldn't you, stay home? But Jimmy was not that way, and his dad wasn't that way, so the apple didn't fall too far from the tree.
Ah.
Yeah.
Now, I know these guys were huge sports fans, and that's how you met, because they recognized you from your Detroit media days.
Jim did, yes. We lived in the same building in Aventura on Williams Island.
So you guys had a lot in common, the golf and the sports and the Spartans, and I guess there's some Michigan hatred mixed in there. Is that possible?
Jimmy was not exactly what I would term an intellectual, a fascinating conversationalist, or a very interesting person. However, he was a hail fellow well-met, as was his father. We never sat down and talked about the nuances and difference between Kierkegaard and Kant, for instance. They just wanted to talk about sports. And I got to be honest with you, I can't remember talking with them about anything but sports. Music a little bit. His dad was a little more knowledgeable about music. Jimmy's tastes were relatively plebeian. But we had a great time together. A lot of laughs. You know?
With all these big words being thrown around.
Oh, what a brainiac, man.
I'm going to have to look these up.
Oh, I forgot. You guys, I'm with you guys. You're in Detroit, I beg you.
Yeah, this is not New York, Bob. So would you
have... The intellectual capital of the world, by the way.
Would you have ever dreamed that...
No.
When you first heard about this, what did you think?
No, and no. Here's when I first heard about it. As usual, I'm up in the morning at my place in West Palm Beach, and I'm on the computer, and I'm just looking at my websites. So I look at, I think it was the Palm Beach Post... or the Miami Herald, I can't recall. And there's pictures of people, stuff like this man missing, so on and so forth. Wait, man missing? I look, oh my God, it's Skip.
Wow.
What, man missing? What does this mean? So I race out of there. I call Jimmy, calm as could be. Hey, Pager, how you doing? I said, I don't know, man. I don't like what I'm seeing. What the hell is this all about? He says, you know what, Dad met this woman, this Latino, a while ago, and she kind of got him into kayaking. And so they left for, you know, a little kayaking trip, and he hasn't been back. I said, who is the woman? She said, I don't know her name. I said, come on. You got a contact on her? What is her phone number? Does she have? Now, we just don't know anything about this girl, but I haven't seen Dad since. We don't know where she is either. He left his car, though, at the embankment where they pushed the kayak off into whatever river they were floating on. Oh. That's what he told me. So I said, what am I going to do? Say you're lying? It didn't sound like a lie to me. It's something that could have happened.
Did he sound,
then,
did
yeah,
he sound like
did, came out.
Did he sound yeah. like somebody who had lost his father, possibly?
No. But on the other hand, if I don't know if your father's still alive. Mine's not. But if your dad, you know, was single and he met somebody, whatever, and he just – was incommunicado for 2 days, you know, you wouldn't really be worried, especially as active a man as Skip was. He was in great shape. He wasn't frail at all.
But except for the fact that he had reported him missing to the police, because that's how it made the news where you called him.
Yeah.
So he should have been worried at that point.
Here's what happened right after that. So the days go on, and obviously it's pretty much all worth thinking about. My longtime significant other is an attorney here in New York City. She's got a real sharp attorney's kind of mind. I said to her one day, we're talking about this. I said, I don't want to think this. I don't want to say this. And I'm embarrassed to you that I'm going to tell you this now. She said, well, you're going to say that you think Jim did it. I said, yeah. She said, I thought Jim did it all along. I said, really? Why? I never, ever, never detected any tension between the two of them at all. We'd hang out together. We'd have a lot of laughs. Again, we'd talk about sports and stuff. They had a standing golf date every Sunday where they played together. A couple other guys, country club. The only thing I can tell you is this, is that Jim thought, he was telling me afterwards, one match one day, he thought his dad grounded his club in a hazard, a bunker, okay? So he said to his dad, I realize your show is a little different than ours. I still don't want to say the word. He said to his dad, you see, sucker, I saw just what you did right there. I said, you called your own father a sea sucker? Are you kidding me? He laughs and he says, yeah, sure I did. But that was kind of been fun. And again, that's the only tension I ever even heard about between the two of them.
Did they drugs together too, yeah. Right?
Did they what?
They took drugs together.
I'm reading this in the paper all the time. Yeah, Jimmy was a cocaine guy. But he never, to my knowledge, evinced any
Okay, they partied problem. Together. They partied
they
together.
Drank.
Look, the only time I ever saw Skip Scandarito drunk or heard that he was drunk was sometimes, you know, late at night he'd send me an email or send some people an email. And it was pretty obvious it was drunk email, as we call it. But I never in my presence saw him drunk. I never saw him do drugs at all. Maybe he smoked a little dope. And if he did, BFD. Yeah. I don't know where this is going, what they're talking about, what they're talking about here, what Jim is alleging his father got him into all this. I never saw a sign of it. I'll tell you what his father did. Most of the time, he had a lovely wife, Terry, and she went through so much hell with this guy over his womanizing and his sexually harassing these people, being disbarred in Michigan, losing a judgeship, being disbarred in Florida, that he really kind of doted on her, especially after they learned that because she was a cigarette addict, she got lung cancer, and she was clearly dying. Skip was always with her at the hospital. And sometimes, like, you know, we'd be together. He'd say, I got to go take care of Terry right now. Or they had three cats, you know. He'd say, I got to go home to the cats. Look, this is what kind of man Skip Scandarito was to me. I knew about his past problems. We've all made mistakes, and I'm sure he was very humble about it and sorry. We never really discussed it, though. But a lot of this stuff, I got to be honest with you, Drew, is just so new to me. I didn't know it. I didn't see it. And I hung out with him for years.
Did you talk to Jim after the call when you read about it in the paper?
I never talked to him again after that. As day by day, stuff began to come out of the paper. And as I said, it culminated in, what, a week later, suspecting that maybe Jimmy had actually done this.
Did you know that Jimmy had money trouble?
Yeah. How significant it was, I was unaware. I do know that when we lived on Williams Island, he and his wife had a very nice two-bedroom condo in our building. And one day he told me that they had to leave. He was just going to give the condo back to the bank because he had defaulted on the mortgage. I said, what, are you defaulted on your mortgage? What the hell is that about? I said, why would you just give it back to the bank? He says, now it's the best thing to do. Here's what happened. He lets the bank repossess his condo, okay? And then I never heard from him again. He was gone. He and his wife, Katja was her name, they just left. They never said goodbye to us. They never said anything, forwarding address, nothing. And I never would have seen him again, except, I don't know, whatever it was, a year after that, many months after that. I was in an area of sports bars by myself, went in to see a game, and goddamned if he wasn't in there by himself. He walks up to me, gives me a big hug. Bobby, how are you? And so on. So that's how we kind of reestablish connections and our relationship.
Wow. It's just such a strange story.
And, it's bizarre.
You know, a guy that was in the news a lot here, his father, for the wrong reasons. But anyway, Bob, thanks for the play-by-play. Yeah. And Neil Rubin's column is great, if you haven't read
it. Well, I appreciate always talking to you guys. Trudy, again, it was nice to meet you. But this is the worst interview I've ever done in my life. And not because of anything you said or the way you handled it. You know why I'm saying that. This is the worst interview I've ever had to do in my life.
Yeah, I get it. I know. No, it's a terrible story. It is weird, though. You did say at one point that you thought there was a moral compass missing in him over parking in handicapped spaces.
That was in Neil Rubin's column in the Detroit News. Here's what happened. We would go every year to our local PGA Tour stop in Palm Beach Gardens. Skip was a marshal. They were golf wackos. He always got us gallery passes, and we'd wave to him as he passed by. So one day we were out there, the last time it was the last time I ever saw Jim. Last time I ever saw him. They wanted to go out and get a pop afterwards. And I said, yeah, sure. Where do you want to go? And they pick some. This is a guy who's 48 years old. The old man's 72, 71. They want to go one of those teen titty places, you know? Like,
Hooters.
What's the big Hooters? Like Hooters. That. The girls aren't naked. But then these 21-year-olds walking around in skimpy
little. You got a problem with Hooters? Stuff.
I said, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? We're adults. We're grown men. That's where they wanted to go.
Well, Bob, you already knew he used sugardaddy.com. Isn't that big of a surprise?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What's wrong with Hooters?
So we're getting ready to, after I find out that's where we're going, we're getting ready to leave the golf course. And there's a humongous line of people, maybe 200 people stretching all the way back. I said, what the hell is this line for? It's the line of all the people waiting to get on the courtesy buses to go back to parking. He says, come on with me. He pulls out on the left and walks through another door. I said, where are we going? He says, just come with me. I said, all right, I don't know what he's got going on. This guy walks right up to the head of the line and just takes cuts. He takes cuts.
Oh, yeah.
So I am humiliated. I'm standing there with this guy, but I'm like 5 feet away, you know. So I hope people don't know that I'm with him.
Some man in line
challenges him and says, "You can't do that. What the hell do you think you're doing?" He gave a little bullshit response. Well, it's not that big a deal. Whatever. So anyway, now we get to the appointed date with his dad at this restaurant I just described.
Hooters.
And there's no place to park. He said, no, we got a place to park. I said, where the hell are we going to park? He pulls into a handicapped parking spot right up front. His mother had died by then. He's driving his mom's car. He opens the glove compartment, and he takes out her handicapped tag. He puts it right up on the mirror, parks in the handicapped spot. We walk in. I said, you can't do – I cannot believe you did that. I got home that night, and I said to my girlfriend, I don't think I can hang out with Jim anymore. This guy has no moral compass whatsoever. It's embarrassing.
Wow.
Well, it's funny how those little things mean something, you know, later on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
Bob.
And Friday, don't forget Friday is the big day whenever folks are hearing your podcast, because that's when Jimmy's going to be sentenced down here down in Florida. He could get up to 15 years in prison, but not for killing his dad, just for chopping off his head. It's never been found, and dismembering his entire body. Maximum incompetent prosecutors basically blew the case.
We covered this part,
not
Bob.
Not guilty.
We talked about that. I pretty much went through the story before we got on,
So
there'd be a little background. But yeah, I didn't know he's being sentenced tomorrow. I hope he gets 15.
Max 15 years.
Wow.
And then that issue, of course, is his father's estate of $800,000, which is obviously why Jim killed Skip, why he murdered his own father, because of the $800,000. The question is now, who gets it? Who going to get it?
Well, I hope his sister gets it, but...
Well, let's see.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll see. All right, Bob, thanks, and we'll check out No Filter
pleasure,
Sports,
guys.
And talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks. Bye.
Bob Page. Find a girl, great musical choice, Brandon. Settle down.
Yep.
If you want, you can marry.
Taking credit for me.
Look at me. Oh, you play. I'm old, but I'm happy. That's Skip talking. I'm old, but I'm happy.
I wish I had a father.
Like you are now. Still Skip.
What's wrong with Hooters? And
I know Bob seems to have a moral problem.
It was an upscale Hooters, too, according to Neil Rubin.
Not to mention the parking lot was jammed.
Yeah.
Is John Daly inside?
That's my dad. Your time,
think a lot. Hey, are there any Hooters remaining?
There's two in the area.
Is Hooters sinking? Are millennials killing Hooters?
Yeah, they are.
What? Brandon, would you please defend the millennials on this one?
I just saw the one in Bay City. They just closed up.
Aww.
Looks like
millennials don't like boobs. Good job.
Wait, millennials don't like boobs. That's true, allegedly, isn't it? And I don't believe it. But
remember, Hooters used to always come to the radio station with just tons of wings. God, yeah,
my vest, which was stolen.
What? Huh? No one knows where that is.
Do we have the phone number of the Playboy model who's revealing the terrible pain she endures?
She's not listed because she's Australian.
Oh.
I looked for her, though.
Okay. She's an influencer, by the way.
What's
so she may influence
Australian?
People to she's not want boobs. Big boobs.
She's killing boobs, Trudy.
They hurt. Every day, she says they hurt.
Read her
she
Instagram
She takes lots
post.
Of skanky pictures of them, but they
What's
hurt.
Her name?
Her name is...
It's important.
Simone Holtznagel. H-O-L-T-Z.
Holtznagel!
N-A-G-E-L.
It's a great name.
She's 24. She has 100,000 followers. She's an influencer. She's nothing without her following.
She
cannot have her boobs.
No, she's not nothing. She's got great boobs.
Read what she wrote about her big boobs.
And by the way, I don't care if they hurt. They look good.
It helps her. It helps her job.
Yes.
Write those boobs off.
She depends on them. A bid to warn other women who might be considering breast enlargement. The former Australia's Next Top Model contestant told her followers. She didn't win. As the owner of...
What a cheap shot.
As the owner of E-plus titties, she spells them T-I-D-D-I-E-S. What the fuck is that?
Maybe that's the Australian... Is that an Australian spelling?
I don't know.
The T's were taken already.
Crikey.
Should we call the Australian consulate and ask him?
I think this is a cute term she has for him. Why would anyone want their natural boobs enlarged to my size is beyond me. Well, why don't you...
They look good. Look at your job, honey.
How big are her boobs?
I have a feeling...
Your boobs are huge.
Didn't have these boobs, she would not... she would appreciate them.
They don't look
bad. She went a couple days without them.
They're big, but they're not. I've seen bigger. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering.
I heard she has to wear two sports bras.
Or E plus. She said big boobs suck. They hurt. Your back hurts.
They don't look E plus. They look D's.
Joe, I wonder if she'd be an influencer without her boobs.
No,
Something tells me. She's pretty, but speaking of, you know who she looks
like?
You know, she looks a little bit like, I just thought of this. Last night I'm watching this ridiculous show, as if I don't watch enough ridiculous shows. I found a new ridiculous show to watch. Married at First Sight.
Oh, yeah. That's a great show.
What?
That's a great show.
Another one?
It's not bad.
They get married and then they follow them for, what, 90
days or
something?
They follow them. And they take in the pre-part, too, where these psychiatrists and psychologists and therapists.
And no one cares. Everyone
speaks
past that
part. They decide who belongs together. Mm-hmm. Like, they've got these two people who, one of them runs a charity, and the other one, I think she works in some kind of charity. And they think, oh, they'd be nice together. Mm. Yeah. They're both very family-orientated.
Oh. Orientated.
Do people still say orientated, by the way?
Yes, all the time.
I wanted to really keep track of those, if we could find them. Like,
it's really family-orientated. That was the one we had.
We need to start playing our ridiculouses again. Because those, I keep seeing ridiculouses all over the place. People say it all the time. Anyway,
it's ridiculous.
I'm watching Married at First Sight. Everything's going great, except it's really awkward when you're taking wedding pictures.
Yeah, you know,
reception.
It's a stranger.
Yeah, you don't know, another person. And I could tell a couple of them, like, I don't know about this couple. But then they show the highlights of the season to come, and of course they all hate each other eventually.
Has it ever worked out?
You know,
there has to be
should
some.
Look it up.
We're getting hitched.
I think there have been a few that might be still together. What happens is,
if it worked out, I guarantee you the guy's just really easygoing.
The people,
of course.
What? Huh?
I've noticed because I watched one season. The people really, really want to be married. Like, they're usually about 30, 28, and they're not married
yet. There's their first problem.
They're very upset that they're not married. They kind of have a sort of a mental clock, like, I want to be married by this age. I want to start having kids by this age. And they're not quite there, and they keep meeting the wrong person. And so they're willing to take a chance on love.
Take a chance on love.
And I don't know if any of them have worked, honestly, but they ran a promo in the show for Marrying Millions.
Whoa, what's
and
that?
This is on Lifetime also.
Wow.
And the first couple is this 60-year-old guy who owns a private real estate company. He's a multi-millionaire. And he's with this 21-year-old hot chick. And it's about much older rich people who marry very young people. I mean, it seems like you could just find a couple in the restaurant or anywhere. But they feature him. One of the couples is Josh Hamilton's ex-wife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the baseball player. She's really hot. Her name is
Mrs. Josh Hamilton.
No, her name, she goes by something Chadwick. She's on The Real Housewives of something. So she's trying to get out there, obviously. Anyway, her daughter is 19. What's her first name?
I'll look it up.
Something Chadwick. She goes by Chadwick, Katie. But it's something Chadwick
Katie.
Hamilton. Katie. Katie's daughter comes home with some friends one day, and one of her friends is this rapper. And anyway, Katie ends up all hot for her daughter's rapper friend.
I've seen this on Pornhub.
His name is Colton. He's 23, and I think she says she's 37. I think she's really more like 40 or 39. But they look like a ridiculous couple. But they're being featured in the show.
There's a few spinoffs for Married at First Sight, including Jamie and Doug plus one. They actually had a kid. They met on Married at First Sight.
Yeah, I went through all the seasons. They've had 8 seasons of this show that have completed.
10.
Whoa. That have completed.
Oh.
I see 8. Nine. Anyway, 25 couples. There's 6 of them that are still together.
That's not bad. That's higher than I would have thought.
That's pretty good, really. I mean, Married at First Sight? I will say this. I think they match them well. They all look like couples, surprisingly. One of them's a former basketball player at University of Tennessee, Chattanooga. He's 6'10". And
is his name Matthew?
Yeah, Matthew Gwynn.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And she's pretty cute, actually. She's got red hair, and she's attractive. And her father's speech at the wedding, which is so ridiculous, by the way. I mean, these people just met. They haven't seen each other until this day. He makes a joke about how he's always keeping up with her. You know, she's like 30. And I saw her car registration was expired, so I went out and got her a new one, plus paid the fine. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, that's a bad sign. I mean, daddy's going to be, she needs daddy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Spoiler alert, they're still together.
Are they?
Oh.
Yeah, according to Newsweek.
The highlights of the coming season showed him leaving.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you telling me Newsweek is fake news?
And she also was calling his sister a bitch.
Can somebody tell me why Newsweek is reporting on this?
No. It wouldn't say he left permanently. They were just showing him leaving. You know, just like The Bachelor. They have these highlights to throw you.
I'm not sure how I feel about being a wife with a total stranger.
I want to find love at any rate.
Man, he's gigantic.
Yeah, he's huge.
I haven't been in a relationship in like the last 10 years.
10 years?
I don't know if Jamie can give me what I'm looking for.
You don't think it's wrong to lie to me?
I hoped for the one that was patient when it came to my virginity.
Will sex be a determining factor? Absolutely.
Do you really want a divorce?
Love is moving to Wednesdays. Married at First Sight premieres.
I assume those two people are together. One that's like, I'm a virgin. He's like, sex is going to be a factor.
The 6'10 guy, that girl, whatever her name is, the way she talks to his sister is, eesh. I don't know why she's being so nasty to the sister. And she apparently lied about something major and she didn't think it was a big deal. She seemed like a real weasel to me. But anyway,
nice.
There's much to cover because, well, first there's a little bit of politics. There's a big announcement, though, in the entertainment world today. Big. Something to do with, should we call now Tom Cruise? Justin Bieber and Cruise are allegedly going to fight in the octagon?
I cannot wait.
No, they're not.
I'm
with Brandon. I'm skeptical.
Are you?
That's really going to happen.
I felt like when he put the tweet out, I thought, they've already decided to fight.
Really?
Well, I didn't know why. It seemed insane.
They've got to be in a movie together, or there's got to be some sort of
they're
going to
be in the cage together.
Oh, this will make a ton of money. I think this will make a lot of money. Don't you? Doesn't it? Is there any reason this won't make money? No, it'll make a ton of money.
It'd be dumb not to do it.
I would just like to say, the two of you, get it on.
If they got it on, they'd make more.
Well, I mean, get it on in the octagon.
I think people would pay-per-view them getting it on.
What if that's what happened? What if they start grappling in the octagon and then you started... Making it.
What if they agreed to Boofu and just put it on pay-per-view?
That would not make that much money.
I think people would buy it just to see if it was really going to happen.
This whole thing is ridiculous.
It's going to be Capone's vault again.
It's already over, but what happened was Dana White said, oh yeah, I'd be cool with it. That's all he said.
No.
And now all the headlines are going,
they had a secret phone call.
Scooter Braun has already agreed.
Scooter Braun took a phone call from a dumb promoter, not even a famous one, and said, hey, I'll do it if you're done with it. And Scooter took his phone call.
No, so Dana White and Scooter were conferenced together, and the quote is, he's 100% down with it. All right. Brandon, stop trying to kill this off, too. This is great.
It's in his millennial nature.
Miles Teller.
It's not happening.
Don't be skeptical.
It's fake news.
Miles Teller was on Kimmel last night, and he co-stars in the new Top Gun with Tom Cruise, and he says it's not even on Tom's radar.
Oh, bullshit.
Said this last night, just hours ago.
He's just trying to act as if he's on the inside.
Doesn't know.
Cruise doesn't even know who he is. Cruise is in scenes with him. He doesn't know who he is. He wouldn't recognize him in a crowd of one.
What would help Cruise to do this? What if they donated money to Scientology?
Would happen. Like, Bieber needs to start talking shit about Scientology, and then Cruise would probably step up and shut him up.
They'll donate all the money to the Celebrity Center.
Well, you know Cruise would do that.
What if Biebs wins, though?
It goes to that cool priest that he hangs out with.
I think...
What's that?
They're both in cults. They're both in cults. I think Bieber's bored. I really do. I just think he's too much, too fast.
Cried out.
I think he's done writing the first 100 songs he was going to write, or 50 or 10 songs.
He's already told friends that he's... regretting the marriage. Earning a Raider online yesterday.
I don't think she's... If she's really nice, I think it has a chance. If she's the typical bitchy, super hot model, then I say no way. Because I don't think she's as hot as...
She has Baldwin blood, man.
I still think Bieber would win. I really do. I know you guys disagree.
I'll take Cruz. We'll have a bet. We should have a side bet.
He's got the height, the reach advantage.
I'm all in on Cruz.
I'm all in on Bieber. I hate Justin Bieber, but...
But by the way, it is... I know I said this before, but there's something ridiculous about someone who goes into training for a couple years and posts videos of them training in boxing, and then says, "I want you, Cruz," a 56-year-old guy who isn't training.
You know what would happen if they fought? Like, Cruz would be doing all those moves that he learned for all his movies. Nothing would land, and then Biebs would start throwing boxing punches, and nothing would land, and it would just be those two.
They'd probably roll around,
dancing around like idiots.
They'd probably roll and end up boo-fooing.
Hey, but
they'd start making out. How hot would that be?
Hey, you remember, though, Tom Cruise beat all those guys up in Jack Reacher, right?
Yeah, exactly. Tore off a guy's arm.
Can you just see him spinning around, though, doing, like, karate moves, but coming nowhere near Bieber?
Maybe I rip your arm off, beat you to death with it.
First of all, I'm really excited for when they hire people to do the play-by-play, and they actually start analyzing it before the fight, which is going to be so ridiculous.
Yeah, it'll be Rogan.
Tom's big in the kicks, so... they'll show highlights from the movies.
But it doesn't have the reach, though.
It does. No. I then guarantee you, his reach will be discussed.
They show clips from the movie of him fighting.
You're glib.
Oh, I want this to happen so bad.
No, I'm pumped. I got to turn the air conditioning back on. We turned it off because Bob Page can't hear shit. And, man, it's getting hot down here, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Bob heard pretty well, though. I was surprised.
Because we turned the air off.
Fired up. Is he always fired up?
That's Brandon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bob gets
fired up. Yeah, he's animated. He's
way fired up.
Is he ever fired up after the show?
Oh, yeah. Those guys before and after the show are the exact same as they are during.
So is iHeart Memo.
Those guys scream at each other.
Really?
When the mics are off. And mostly they're, all right, let's calm down. But then they'll be yelling at each other about something, calling each other names. And then they just quickly segue into a new topic.
And they're bros.
And they're brothers.
Because they're adults.
One thing I was curious about was when he was getting on the bus, if anybody recognized him, was like, there's Bob Page taking cuts.
Oh. and then he blames it on the other guy.
Yeah.
It's like, no. He wanted a cut because he loves Hooters. I don't even like Hooters. I'm just here to hang out.
You dick. Our beloved studio sponsors and friends at Zot Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and DealsInTheD.com are smack dab in the middle of their Jeep celebration event, and they're excited for you to be a part of it during Zot's Jeep celebration event. Lease a new 19 Jeep Compass Limited at just $188 a month. You can also lease a new 19 Jeep Grand Cherokee for just $277 a month. Or if you fancy yourself more of a Ram truck type, how about leasing a new 19 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4 as low as $169 a month? Better still, how about 0% financing on all the 2018 Ram heavy duties in stock? As you can see, Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off this hot summer with a bang, so strap on your asbestos undies and take advantage of those deals right now. It just always...
Well, yeah. Well, you just want to have good undies on, right?
Sure.
Undies.
What would asbestos undies be like?
I don't know.
Well, they'd give you cancer, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of the junk.
Nut cancer.
Hall Financial is the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service and big supporters of our show. David Hall and Hall Financial are the team to go to if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance. You've heard it from our listeners. They have over 500 five-star reviews because they always put you first. In fact, 72% of Hall Financial's business is referral because realtors trust them and their clients love them too. Don't just take it from us. Listen to what people say. If you're going to go to work with somebody in the Metro Detroit area, this is your team. From start to finish, they were attentive. They made the process really easy. They checked in with me every 2 days, even if there was no news. On top of the elite service, I closed on my home 2 weeks early.
Hey.
Even the sellers were impressed. Is that good?
Yeah. Don't you want to be done with that stuff early?
I do. It took me forever.
Get your money back right away?
Before I knew about Hall Financial, though, I sold my house. It took forever.
I really wish I could go back in time. Yeah.
And get
try
time
selling
back.
A house all of 2008.
Oh my God, that is hot.
I learned a very good lesson that year.
Wow. Yeah, also, with the 4th of July coming up, holiday time is a great time to refinance as you can help your cash flow by not having to make a payment. Don't wait. See why over 500 clients are raving about the team over at Hall Financial today. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com and you won't be disappointed. NMLS 1467435.
I don't know what to do with all the money they're giving us. It's
Judy,
crazy.
What do you do? Luke?
I'll wait for Luke for a minute here.
Did you guys see the outrage about the Led Zeppelin cover art thing?
No.
That Facebook was the Houses of the Holy. They have the little kids in the orange background. They're on the, what is it, the giant...
Rock.
I love that cover.
It's an ancient,
I love that record.
Ancient rock structure in Ireland. Nude.
I'm bringing it up on my phone because I do remember it, though.
So
Facebook won't allow that because there's butt cracks in it?
Yeah, some woman posted it on her Facebook page, and Facebook took it upon themselves to edit it.
Meanwhile.
So they put, like, tape or, you know, what looks like tape over all of their butts.
So, you know, don't worry if 50 people get murdered on Facebook, but let's worry about the butt cracks on the Led Zeppelin cover.
I know.
If those kids were murdering people, it'd be okay.
They wouldn't want to miss out on that.
Super fresh joke about that. But they don't know about the Nevermind baby yet, because nobody has posted that on their Facebook page, I guess.
I think the response is going to be, we're going to adjust our algorithms.
Do we know why this child porn Alex Jones thing?
Yeah, such a bizarre story. It's getting very little coverage.
I get the impression that he's been victimized, and I don't want to, you know, I don't like him for a lot of reasons, but I have no desire to blame him for anything, and I certainly, you know, generally, I want people to have the place to speak about whatever it is they want to speak on. This guy bothers me so much because he's attacking the parents of murdered children. And, you know,
also a snake oil salesman.
What a piece of filth!
Well, I don't like that either.
He sells a bunch of bullshit product.
I just, you know, when something like that happens, I don't know. And this is, even if Alex had not died, and he was 19 years old, and so I know a lot about what that's like, and it's unthinkable how horrible it is. I cannot imagine people attacking someone who lost a child. That's, it's so mind-boggling, and I'm sure it got him ratings and all that stuff, but that makes me feel like I just don't know if that person should. Because, you know, it seems that we're always judging people on obscenity or for, you know, airing things that shouldn't be aired or whatever. But somebody who's on a drumbeat about, you know, parents of children who are murdered in a mass shooting, you know, that just blows my mind.
You always forget about
it. I don't know why people want to listen to it.
When we talk about that, I always forget that he has kids.
I know. You know,
and yet he has no empathy for that?
Unfortunately, he hasn't lost a child, so, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's different, but still, I couldn't imagine losing one of my girls.
To me, it's so unthinkable. I'm surprised how many people defend him, to be honest, because a lot of people feel like this is an outrage and being kicked off any platforms. I don't know. Those are really hard things to decide because, you know, you really don't want people. How do you decide who shouldn't be allowed to speak and who should be? And, you know,
but they're privately owned or publicly owned, you know, not government institutions.
I understand that. But, you know, anytime
people are not going to like it.
Anytime you say someone can't, you know, there's always someone close to them where you go, well, they can, but it's hard. But I'm just not a fan of his. I just don't like what he's doing.
Yeah, he's still got his website.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm sure he's doing fine. I mean, he gets all the attention in the world. It's weird to me. Maybe this doesn't surprise people, but I'm surprised how many people are into this whole conspiracy thing. You know, we saw it here locally with, who was the guy in 1270? Excelsior!
Oh, Mark Scott?
Mark Scott, yeah.
Shut up, conspiracy theorist.
And, you know, Art Bell with the UFOs.
Yeah, well, that's fun, silly conspiracy type.
Well, not always. You know, Mark Scott was the
who's the guy Stern always had on? Riley?
Riley. Riley was great.
Oh, that's right. Voice.
What I liked best about Riley was him complaining about how much he was paid by XM. He sort of acted like Howard paid him out of his own pocket.
Riley Martin.
Thanks, Brandon.
Did he play one of those pranks?
He had a Klan guy on, too, didn't he, for a while? Every so often, he would go to...
Howard, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Russell Crowe was on this week.
Hello?
Yes, can I speak with Riley, please?
Yes, who's calling?
He had a great voice, Riley.
Riley, this is Meep Zorp. I'm a Targzician from the Blumpkin Galaxy. What are you laughing for? Have you been drinking?
Who are you?
We've had a meeting, Riley, and we've decided that you're maybe not the best representative of us aliens.
Do you understand that you are wasting my valuable time with this asinine bullshit?
Is this Riley Martin? I am Bukakian from Planet Sinkeron.
I know who you are and what you are, and you are wasting my time.
Riley, can you hear me? I am Harry Tate from the planet Bullseye Car.
Stomach problems. Sometimes there's blood in your stool from alcoholic imbibing.
Keep talking, I'm stroking my hydrogen rod. I love your voice.
And various other things. Nonetheless, the world is dying, and you are trying to do a skit.
Have you ever sucked an alien penis?
May we probe you again, Riley? You are ripe for probing.
Listen to me very carefully. When you hang up this phone,
quack.
You will feel a squeezing in your heart region.
Riley, there is a television missing from planet Bukaki. We are going to investigate this immediately.
I knew we shouldn't have picked a drunken black guy to spread our message.
Oh. Oh my God, that's great. But they actually ran his show. He had a show on XM too.
Yeah, I know. I've never understood XM. I've never, ever, ever talked to XM about doing a show. I mean, it obviously would be such a great place to do a show. And I remember when they were throwing out these huge piles of money to Oprah and Martha Stewart. And did those people, they didn't do anything for XM, did they?
Jenny McCarthy still has one on there, believe that or not.
Yeah, that's where she talked to Bella Thorne, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Bella Thorne.
I wonder how many listeners.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I think they were thinning out their roster, though, because I was reading last night about – I was doing a deep dive. Actually, I was looking for our most listened to shows, and I found this site called – was it Owl Tail, Brandon?
Something like that.
Did you look at it?
I did.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm. It got into, you know, which shows we have that are the most listened to, and it doesn't – jibe always with our numbers, because our numbers show what shows are downloaded. It doesn't say what day they're downloaded on. Mm-hmm. But it says what day's show it is. So sometimes it's different. And our big shows are May 13 through May 16, 2019, which is good. I'm going, oh, okay. Well, at least the biggest shows are recent shows, so we're gaining audience. And almost all the top 20 shows are 2019 shows. There is this one November 18, 2018 show. What's that? All right, that's near Thanksgiving. Well, that'd be a big show. And I go on there, and there's really nothing to speak of except Mickey Redmond.
Oh, December 11th, 2018.
Oh, was that Mickey?
Yeah, I got the top five down. Yeah, the number one was the one with Mickey Redmond, yeah.
Which I got to believe he's got a lot to do with that. What else is on that show? There's nothing else in that month that's that big.
Let's see.
Mm. Okay. Hmm. Well, on that show, here it is. Mickey Redmond stops by, Hopcat. That's when they got rid of their crack fries.
Cosmo fries?
Though? Yeah, return member of Cosmo. The Detroiters getting canceled. Two Peeping Toms and Maz takes forever to read.
No, I got to believe it's Mickey because I know our Facebook blew up.
Yeah.
Honestly, the two biggest guests I think we've ever had that have impacted the show and the downloads are Mickey Redmond. I always thought that, but now I know it. Mm-hmm. And Kirk Gibson also. Because we had a huge Facebook that day.
The number two was a recent one, May 15th, 2019. And that one didn't have anything really special on it. With like the DeLorean, we talked about the DeLorean biopic. There was some Ted Bundy talk. And that was also when we played the Howard Stern audio of when he was lashing out at the Drew and Mike show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that may have impacted it.
Mm-hmm. The number three was... Actually, that was the day that Neil Rubin was here in studio with us. We had called the Econo Lodge in Battle Creek.
Oh, yeah.
Called Jacko's Doctor that day, too. And then number four was November 18th, 2018. We called Hink Dog that day.
Hink Dog, yeah.
Even though I don't think we never get through to her anymore.
No.
We talked about some R. Kelly crap, Red Dead Redemption 2. And
R. Kelly bought some big downloads, like the Gale Day. The day after Gale is a big day. I know it's not in that list, but it was a big day.
Mm-hmm. And then the fifth one, rounding that out, that was actually October 16th, 2018. That was the show after Mike Clark had passed.
So that, I mean, that makes, the list makes sense. I was just not shocked, but I was impressed that Mickey would be that big a draw. But it doesn't really surprise me, because he is. People ask about him all the time. And in fact, he's at the Killer Cares event on the 27th, and he's bartending.
Yes,
Mm-hmm. I think he's the hour after us.
Check your fillings, baby.
No problem.
Mickey.
We come in early and stay late.
Mickey is bartending with Dylan Larkin.
Oh.
The Red Wings young star. I mean, that's pretty cool.
I have the whole sheet here.
Oh.
Yeah, Mickey, run it down. Mickey 8 to 9:30, Dylan 8 to 9:30.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
Colin 8 to 9:30.
Maybe Dylan audio from 90210, I think that'd be.
Larry Murphy 8 to 9, Erica Erickson 8 to 9.
Double E.
So we're 7 to 8. Amy Anders, Drew.
Hi, I'm Dylan. I'm an alcoholic.
Maz, Trudy, myself, and
mind your own business, Brandon.
Sorry. Yeah. So yeah.
Nice.
And then ML. I know ML's there from I think 10 to midnight.
Oh, be sure to look at the new ML Soul Detroit show to see picture. ML's picture from is it 1988?
Yes, it's his state news. Here, I'll show you, Trudy. It's his state news picture.
Trudy, tell me he doesn't think he's hot in this picture.
Oh,
this is a glamour shot.
Oh, boy.
There it is.
I think he hired someone to take a shot. I do.
Wow. Yeah.
Because he's looking beyond the horizon.
Check out that $200 haircut.
A 1,000-yard stare.
I think he took. I think he watched the King of Pain video and was observing Sting before he made that face.
He's got a turtleneck too.
He's really looking beyond the horizon.
Drew, you accused him of thinking he's hot.
I do.
He wrote back and said, "I was trying to look hard, but I was certainly trying to grow more hair out so there'd be more of me."
There's a lot of hair. That's one thing he has plenty of.
It's a good story he shares, though, from writing back there, how he really made a certain segment of the student population pissed off at him.
I think he's really going for hot in that picture. I think he's a glamour shot studio.
It's a blue
I think
steel.
He really is.
Yeah.
I think they snuck him in the back door because he was the only guy that came in that day because guys weren't doing that stuff.
Look at that.
Wow. That is a very serious. That's a
that like, sweater.
Dedicated yeah. journalist.
The Scientology case that is being taken to court. This woman is suing Scientology for a number of things, but she's claiming that Shelley Miscavige was kidnapped, which is what Leah Remini has been on for years. Yeah. And by the way, who is married to the head of a giant organization and then decides to go hide in some strange place in California where there is some underground storage area where they're sorting through L. Ron Hubbard's various writings to make sure they're saved forever to eternity.
You never see the Pope's wife. Where's she at?
It just would seem, in fact, the only time she's left, they believe, is when she went to her father's funeral.
Yeah.
The only time in 13 years or something. She also wasn't at the Tom Cruise wedding to Katie Holmes. That's when Leah Remini got in trouble for asking.
Right. Yeah, usually pastors' wives want to be seen.
Oh, I think she's been excommunicated for some I don't know what she did. He got incredibly angry at her over a number of really stupid, insipid things. He sounds like a nut. Well, of course he's a nut.
Except for the ordering two meal part.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that sounds
genius
good.
He had some good ideas.
Right now.
Genius.
Is he the minister then in the wedding of Tom Cruise?
Yeah,
I think he did. I believe he did. If he wasn't best man, maybe he was best man. I know Cruise is best man at, well, no. Now I can't remember.
I really never thought.
He married Shelley when he was like 18 or something.
I never thought of them as a religion enough to think that they had like bishops or equivalent.
Well, I never thought it was military enough to have a Sea Org. What is that?
These are the times now, people.
Or a Navy outfit.
These are the times we will all remember. Were you there?
Yeah.
What did you do? I think you know that I am there for you. And I do care so very, very, very much. So what do you say? We're going to clean this place up?
Huh? Yeah!
Okay. Somebody get a dick?
Because we're counting on you.
It's Cabbage here next door.
Okay. All right. To LRH.
To LRH!
What?
Oh, LRH. And now they're hugging. They're doing a manly handshake and half hug.
We need the LRH drop, by the way.
Keeps.
LOB!
Keeps. eyes over Miss Cavage.
He's wearing heels.
They seem like twins. Still, I mean, a lot about them is so much alike. They love riding Harleys together. That's right, so cool. Like Morning Wagon Millen did, which was cool in the moment.
Look how long that lasted.
Oh, stupid. It was so embarrassing when that happens. Yeah. I know. I want to mention Luke Nowacki, who is a sponsor of some of the other shows on the network as well. And we're so glad to have Luke, who gives so much to the shows, expects so little, but actually we've done pretty well over there. And maybe you're trying to make a financial plan for the future, or you should be making a plan and you know it. Your kids are getting older, thinking about paying for college, and you don't really have anything set in stone. Maybe a certain amount every month, maybe a specific fund, maybe a 529. Or maybe it's a 401k you haven't looked at, and you're wondering, yeah, I wonder if that's really making the – what if I'm maximizing my 401k?
That's S&P at its all-time high.
Today? Yeah, really?
It erased all its May losses.
Wait, why did it go up so much today?
Because the hint from the feds that the interest rate will not go up.
Oh.
Is there a meeting with China coming
China!
Up?
China.
With the U.S.? I don't know. What's his name? Xi Jinping? North Korea right now?
I don't know. I just thought I heard last week that Trump was planning a meeting with him. Okay. But I don't know what that
means. I'm sure he is.
I don't know if the market responded. I just saw the market was up like 360 points one day, and I was like, oh, yippee. Mm-hmm. Well, the market at an all-time high, which presents issues. Is it a good time to get in the market? Is it a good time to sell a couple things? Talk to Luke. 248-663-4748. He's fearless. He'll tell you what he thinks. 248-663-4748 for Luke Nowacki and his team. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Reliance Associates, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Reliance Associates, Incorporated, separately owned other entities, and or marketing names, product services, reference here, or independent of Reliance Associates, Incorporated. Okay. I just wanted to go back to Bella Thorne for a minute because yesterday we heard her bawling her eyes out over, I thought, something absolutely insidious. I thought she completely misunderstood what was being said. No one was shaming her for anything. In fact, I would have thought she would give the same advice to, you were here yesterday, Tree.
Yeah, after Whoopi.
Yeah, what did you think about what Whoopi said?
I think she's right. Fundamentally, you should know, if you're at all savvy, that none of your stuff is safe electronically.
I didn't think she was saying, you fucked up, you dope, and you're gross. Yeah. I thought she was saying,
you're gross.
First of all, they went on and on about how hot she was. She's 21. Joy Behar said, she's at her hottest. She looks fantastic. And, you know, she'd put the picture up in the grocery store. And it went on and on. I'm sending you something, Brandon, about Bella Thorne's stupid moments, her 15 stupid moments. And I got to tell you, I was incredulous. I didn't even make it all the way through this thing. They're posts that she's made online that are just beyond belief. And when I was getting through this, I was thinking to myself, wait, how is she not canceled for some of this stuff? It's so stupid. For one thing, she throws the N-word around. Why would Bella Thorne? No, I hate doing this. Where I want her canceled. I really am not trying to get anyone canceled. It's just I weigh, well, what happened to this person? What happened to that person? They did the same thing.
Huh.
And, you know, you have the girl, for example, who was invited on stage to sing along with a song with Drake. And she sang the N-word. And then they're like, hey, how dare you?
Oh, that was Lamar.
Oh, Kendrick Lamar.
Okay, whatever.
That was hilarious.
Why would you invite someone on stage to sing a song and then excoriate them for singing one of the worst songs?
Right.
I thought that was a little ridiculous. And the Virginia Tech women's golf team or somebody was excoriated on social media for singing along with the N-word. Well, Bella Thorne just tosses it around. So I didn't understand, why is that okay? Why would Bella Thorne be exempt from that? Can anybody explain that to me? And I'm not looking for an explanation that makes sense.
Maybe because nobody knew, because nobody cared about Bella Thorne?
No, she has a lot of followers.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, she's a big deal. I mean, this isn't news to anybody, is it?
I didn't even know who she really was.
You know, to me, yeah, I didn't know who she was before.
Oh, really?
Well, only because of the Scott Disick thing.
No, see, I wouldn't really know who she was. I've heard her name a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but there was Bella Hadid, and then there were. Isn't it?
Bella Hadid.
And there are a couple other Bellas.
Anyway, this particular post gets into her tossing the N-word around and singing along with songs with the N-word in it. Now, she has – is anybody looking at her Instagram, perchance, or
– Yeah, yeah.
How many followers does she have?
Oh, a ton. She's got a lot of hot pictures on there.
No, I know. I mean, this is not a secret. It's not like nobody knew who Bella Thorne was. For some reason, when she says the N-word, it's okay or it's ignored.
She has 20 million followers.
20 million followers. Because here's a post, you know, what up, N-word, guh. And apparently she has some audio posts where she uses the N-word. She's on Jimmy Kimmel. I mean, if you say the N-word on social media, why are you allowed on Jimmy Kimmel? I wouldn't think that would be okay. And I'm not trying to bust Jimmy Kimmel or anything here. I'm just saying I don't understand. I guess I just don't get the rules. Then, okay, this one, you're going to laugh. She apparently at some point became bisexual or announced that she was bisexual. And her brother was upset because she was on social media making out with and crawling all over his ex-girlfriend. Her brother's ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
Which I thought, no, that's...
Yeah, here's
that's,
a video. Yeah.
She's an attention whore.
Can I see that?
Oh, yeah. You can see that.
Just like Josh Hamilton's
She's
ex.
Absolutely an attention whore. And this is hot, by the way.
Ooh.
But, and I think you can make out with your girlfriend's brother.
Wait.
She's broken up with her, by the way.
Is that consensual?
Yeah.
The girl on the bottom doesn't look like... It kind of looks like she's...
The girl on the bottom is Bella.
She's... Oh. Oh.
You know what? There's no tongue. This is just for show.
Yeah.
Well, she announced that she was bisexual. I think it was after those posts started going up. So, and then she dated the girl, too. They actually went out. They were a couple.
Nice.
Let's see. What else is on her list of stupid things? Oh, okay. This I thought was really stupid. Ask my gyno today. So, like, it feels weird always. Or no. So, like, is it weird always sticking your fingers in rando vages all the time?
Oh, she said that to her gyno?
To her gyno, and she posted it. She tweeted it.
Did the gyno keep her as a client?
I have no idea.
After that?
I don't know. I just thought that was so... First of all, it's just rude. It's stupid. If she actually
said that, she's a dope. Yeah, I think she's trying to be funny.
She... Okay, here's the other thing. She calls out other people for things they do. This is somebody tossing the N-word out, dating her brother's girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, and so on and so forth. And yet she is a big social justice warrior herself. Okay, Scott Disick.
Has anybody talked to Mod Sun about this?
Actually, yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah, the Mod Sun thing. Oh, that's how she came up the other day. Was she's, well, not really, but that was part of the story, was that she's trashing her ex for stealing her passport. Well, he explained that online, and actually I thought it looked to me like he was the far more rational of the two people.
It's her fault, yeah.
They reached back out to him to find out, you know, hey, Whoopi versus Bella, who you got? And he's basically saying, well, I think that I agree with what Whoopi says.
Oh.
So.
Okay. So,
so last
anyway,
time Mod Sun gets any nudes.
She filmed her bikini waxing on Snapchat.
Yeah, gross. Lovely.
Okay. So anyway, I don't know. I just want to know. She's young. She's supposed to be woke because she's only 21 years old. Wouldn't it? Would she know? Oh, she also has. She gives away awards at award shows. They were talking about the, it was the American Music Awards or the MTV Awards or something, where she was giving an award to someone and she was making jokes about their last name.
Like, really?
You know, Trudy somebody, somebody. You know, let's see if she won so we can find out what her name is. You know, those things, and they
really?
Said. Those things are rehearsed. They know the person's name. They're told how to pronounce it, etc. And she was just a bitch about it. And I guess they weren't too pleased about it. So anyway.
Sounds too troublesome.
Yeah, no, she's an enormous pain in the ass. She's an idiot. Yeah. But I just wondered, and it's always more fun when idiots are canceled than people who don't seem like complete idiots.
Yeah.
But is it just because she has great tits and a nice ass and she has nudity that she can say the N-word and nobody bothers her about it?
Sure.
Apparently.
Does that seem a little strange?
Yeah.
Go up in the one on the left. I want to see that one. What is she doing? Oh.
Oh, what are people saying? What are comments, by the way?
Good morning, Devil.
Good morning, Devil.
You look absolutely amazing without makeup.
Shut up.
I disagree, by the way. I don't think she looks nearly as good without makeup. Sorry. Sorry, not
How
sorry.
How old is she?
Here's some
21.
Girl. Put some clothes on. You look like a stripper.
She got some dimples on her butt in the mirror. See,
she's got a bush,
too. Oh, gross. I'm out.
No other comments?
You see it through?
No, not really.
Them okay. Underwears?
It's peeking out the top.
Check another shirt. Post, Brandon.
The underwears.
How groomed. Bella, ever heard of a razor? Maybe she could get a Gillette ad.
Yeah, but that'll boomerang on Gillette.
Yes, for sure.
What a stupid picture. Oh, wait, she's in some chick's lap. Never mind. That's funny. I didn't even notice the other woman there. There's a nice comment. Jesus.
Here's one from Anna Ferris. I wish my drunk photos looked like that, sweet mama.
Shut up.
God.
You need to get drunk and take more photos.
I guess that's how fame is these days. That's kind of the way to go about it now.
What,
I'm still stuck on the N-word. I mean, you can't say the N-word anywhere, anyhow, anywhere if you're white. But if you're Bella Thorne, you can, apparently. Yeah.
Or if you're a mumble rapper, you can.
Well, no, if you're a white mumble rapper, can you?
They get away with it.
You show your butt and your boobs, you can do it. And they're good. I mean, they can't be, like, bad boobs. So
the N-word is okay if you're a hot chick.
Yes.
Okay. Just want to know the rules.
Sure.
That makes a lot of sense.
I don't think any guys are allowed, any white guys.
No.
At all.
No, absolutely not.
No matter how hot.
Well, if you're a rapper.
Yeah, hey, at the risk of pulling a Maz away here, I just saw something on TV that caught my eye. Drew, let me know if this is a good use. I know you like judging GoFundMes and if it's a good use of a GoFundMe. But here's a new GoFundMe that's out there.
Sometimes funeral costs. But as Nick Monacelli reports, the city of Huntington Woods is asking for money to set up some fireworks.
Yeah, there's a lot of these.
Really? For municipalities?
The official start of summer is tomorrow, although it certainly doesn't feel like it. But the summer programs in Huntington Woods...
Taxes don't pay for anything anymore.
In Huntington Woods, they don't have enough tax money for fireworks?
I tell you.
That has the director concerned.
Can you pause for a second?
Money is tight, as in every community.
This
in Huntington Woods, they don't have enough money.
I don't want to get stuck on something like I got stuck on a forensic accountants, which seems to be coming back over and over. How much we need a forensic accountants? But isn't this a threshold again where they say, you know what, we can't pay the teachers. We need to have a millage to pay the police and fire a little more, and then you pay for this, and then, oh, you know what, the road costs, and we need to tax you for that, and we can't pay for fireworks anymore, so can we have a GoFundMe so you guys can pay for fireworks? I mean, there's no responsibility to pay for anything.
Does every city need to have their own fireworks show?
No. I think it is stupid, isn't it?
When we were talking about Memorial Day, almost every city has their own Memorial Day parade, too.
Gary.
Oh, we forgot money. Gary.
Gary! Ah, boy.
Well, there's man on the street in this story. I just want to hear the man on the street. I don't care what this is.
What happened to Gary?
I got a text message that said, calling?
Oh, we're missing our graph window.
Hey, let's try the GoFundMe.
Who's going to take the blame for this one?
GoFundMe page, hoping for $10,000 to keep their 4th of July celebration.
So far, they're $9,000 short.
This is video from 2016, and there is enough money for this year. It's the future they're worried about.
What?
If we don't start raising enough.
What's the thing? Sit on my money for a year? Fuck you.
Well, shit. Start budgeting, Huntington Woods.
Talking to the residents here, they feel raising that money should not be a problem.
I think it's a worthwhile endeavor, to be honest with you, because I think it brings the community together.
Yeah, of course they can raise that. I have no doubt in my mind.
So, Devin, do you want fireworks here?
Yes.
But do you want to raise the money for it?
No.
Maybe a lemonade stand or something?
Shouldn't they have that money?
So we asked the city if they thought it was appropriate for a city to be using GoFundMe for donations. And they said if the fireworks are something their citizens want, then why not? In Huntington Woods.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Well,
no.
That's
why don't you, you're given all this money, this big pile of money, which gets bigger and bigger and bigger. This is why I oppose taxes in general. I mean, increasing taxes. Because every time they increase taxes, they just gobble it up and spend it efficiently, as they always do, until the next time they say they need more of our money for whichever group they're going to hit next.
And how come they never save any tax money?
No, they never do. There's never a surplus. No, because...
You have a pile of money coming in from people. Would you save it? No.
And by the way, look at a lot of these places where you'll find people still have pensions and things that regular people don't have because it's government money.
I'm shocked that Huntington Woods just doesn't have enough money.
Well, you can run out of money for anything now and ask your residents for it, and who knows, you might get it.
Wow.
Look at all the millages on the ballot constantly. You never I don't ever remember seeing a millage until I moved here.
Really?
Now I see them all the time. No, I think they're everywhere now, but I mean, I just don't remember millages. Do you, Trudy?
No.
When you're in Ohio?
No, not at all.
It's interesting.
I mean, it's like there was no such thing.
You're right.
Yeah. When I moved here, by the way, Mike Clark was so angry about millages. And I didn't know what a millage was. I didn't know what it was. And when he explained it to me, I was like, well, yeah, I am pissed. That's bullshit.
Hey, Gary.
Mr. Big Stuff from the Oakland Press. It's at Graf on Music on Twitter. Gary Graf.
What? Nope. What happened?
What?
We lost the window shut.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Wow, that slammed shut fast. We should have a sound effect for
the Graf window.
By the way, that term's catching on. When people are tight for time, it's a Gary Graf window.
Oh, so sorry, Gary.
He could say he's moved on to the next event. The window shut. It's very possible.
Oh, man.
I explained to him that we were down the rabbit hole of whether Huntington Woods should go with the the GoFundMe.
Oh,
for
Trudy, you didn't acknowledge forgetting?
It's Bella Thorne's fault, really, Trudy.
Yes, it is Bella Thorne's fault. But
ooh.
But I thought maybe he would want to check in on that, too.
I think we're on probation.
I reached the
door.
Am I supposed to call the different number this time?
I guess.
Why is Gary's phone number always in question? Why is it that there isn't one number that's called all the time? His cell phone.
He's in the car.
He's in the car?
That means...
Oh, that was the home number you called.
CL phone.
Yeah. He always calls the home phone.
For someone we call a lot, it seems like there's a lot of confusion.
Hello.
Usually, hey, Gary.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing?
All right. I'm in the Funkmobile on my way to Freedom Hill.
Oh, that's right. You're going to George Clinton.
Excuse me, the Michigan Lottery Amphitheater.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I got a clean diaper on and everything.
I was so excited about talking to George Clinton, and then you swiped it out from under me. How was it?
There you go. He's an interesting guy to talk to. His brevity is a virtue with him.
I thought it might be. Sure.
Yeah.
That's a polite.
Yeah, but he's a nice guy. He's, you know, I mean, he exists in his own kind of cosmic plane, which is fun to be in when you're standing in front of it, and you know the guys in diapers and bride's dresses and everything are doing their thing.
Gary, did you go to another Seeger show?
I have not. No, I'm going tomorrow night for the first. I'm doing first and last.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
maybe we'll see you then.
And,
I have seen nothing but people just raving and loving the show. And
yeah, I've seen the same thing. And the good, you know, the one I saw the opening night was good too. It's been interesting. The people who are apparently coming to town to see it, like Eric Church, came on the second night. Hmm. And last night, Michelle Phillips from the Mamas and the Papas was there.
Wow.
That seems kind of random. She's not a Michigan girl.
It's very random.
Did she get up on stage?
No.
Was she plugging something?
How did you know she was there?
There were some photos, and I got a couple texts from people saying, you know, you get this, yeah, one of the Mamas and Papas are here, and it's like, well, there's only two alive. Is it a mama or a papa? we can narrow this down.
Wait, Denny's dead, isn't he?
He might be, too.
Denny Doherty? Yes, I think he is.
Yeah, we'd have to look that up. Yeah, I mean,
wait,
I know John.
It had to be her.
Yeah.
Unless it was the new Mamas and the Papas.
No, this was definitely Michelle. We have ascertained it was Michelle Phillips.
Okay.
And so, yeah, they're drawing people to these shows. Of course, this is not the end of the end. He's got a bunch of dates that he announced for the fall.
Right, but not here, right?
Nothing here yet, so we'll see. Listen, there's talk about more in 2020. There's still the lingering question of will he finally go overseas again, because they are getting interest and good offers.
I'm sure they are.
You know, since if this is going to be the last time, is this when he goes to Australia or back to Europe or something? Yeah, we'll see.
Somebody posted Still the Same last night. I love that song, Still the Same. And did he play that the night you were there?
Oh, yeah. That's been a fixture on the tour.
Oh, cool.
Could he do like a mini residency like Billy Joel does Madison Square Garden?
Yeah.
It would be great if he would. I don't think he has any interest in doing that. You know, it was funny when the Billy Joel residency was announced, people were asking then the folks at the Palace, who are you going to do? You know, are you going to get Bob Seger or Kid Rock? Because this Billy Joel thing's been amazing.
I'm surprised more artists don't do that.
Yeah, you know, especially ones who have the kind of tie for their hometown that, you know, that Billy Joel does. You know, you think Springsteen somewhere in New Jersey. Yeah.
What was the top Springsteen number? in his heyday?
What did you say number?
Of consecutive evenings.
Oh, I think it was 10 at Brendan Byrne Arena in East Rutherford.
Well, he was playing Giants Stadium consecutive nights.
He was doing that, and he would do like three, two or three. He might have done four one year. God, I know on his last E Street Band tour, he did three in Philadelphia, three nights at the stadium there.
That's huge.
The Stones are opening in Chicago, correct?
They are.
Oh, boy. Anything on?
That's tomorrow.
What do we know about that set list? Anything interesting you're hearing?
Only that Mick has posted that they're going to do a deep dig, and they're going to roll out a lot of songs, and they reference Memory Motel, and I think I've heard them do Memory Motel like every time I've seen them. So I don't know how you got to give me something a little deeper than that. Maybe Silver Train There's a lot of, bring back Monkey Man or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, Monkey Man, they used to play that live.
Yeah, they did that. I think 94 was the last time they did that. Or play me something you've never played before. How about that?
I know. Voodoo Lounge Tour in East Lansing, I think they played that.
That was a great, they did. And they played it when they brought it back here. I think it was at the Silverdome then.
God, those were great shows. I love that. I like that record, too.
Oh, yeah, that was, I would argue, that was their last good album, their last really good album. Of course, there's only been, what, one or two since then? Two? Three.
Yeah, two or three.
Three, yeah.
A lot of collaborations or greatest hits or 40 licks or whatever.
There's tons of those. For every one studio album they put out now, they do at least five compilations.
Yeah, I wonder what the record is for the song that's on the most compilations by one band. Any wild guesses on that?
I would, I think the Stones are as good a candidate on the Stones or Elvis.
I've noticed
probably.
Yoko puts out a lot of John Lennon sort of hits packages.
I don't think an undue number. I think she's been judicious about that.
I'm going to
you don't see the cheap single disc. Some anniversaries that here's 10 John Lennon songs that we pick to put on an album. Usually it has been like the Imagine anniversary, the stuff they put out for that, and or for his birthday.
Does it count?
Does
it count if they're on soundtracks then?
The songs?
Yeah.
I would tally it up, sure.
You'd tally that?
Hmm. Sure. Gary, did you happen to see Sean Lennon when he came through with, who's he with?
Oh, the guy from...
The Lennon something.
Claypool Lennon Pandemonium Psychedelium. I saw them not this time, but the first time.
How was that?
They came through. It's really good.
Yeah.
It's Primus's strength, Les Claypool's strength, is playing, not necessarily in writing songs. Sean Lennon writes songs. So putting the two of them, getting the best of their both worlds together is kind of like Abby, or more like a Revolver-ish, type of experience. I don't know that I'd put it up there in terms of the quality of the songs, but in terms of the vibe.
Yeah, someone sent me them playing Tomorrow Never Knows, about a 9-minute version.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they can, Les puts a band together that can play, and Sean can play too, but he has, like I say, he's a stronger songwriter. So their own material is actually pretty interesting.
Hey, Gary. I'm sorry.
No, Mark, go ahead.
Well, I read today that Ozzy is going to be used in the Disney animated movie, the Troll series.
In Trolls, he'll be the ununderstandable troll.
Is this a case of Sharon just using him beyond his abilities? Because he probably couldn't get out of bed for a concert, so she's thinking, well, get in the studio, or I'll put a mic in front of your face, and you could do the voice tracks for this.
He can probably pull it off, and doing voice recording is not
hard.
It's not arduous. I mean, you go and doing it well, doing it like Tom Hanks and Tim Allen in Toy Story 4 is different than Ozzy or George Clinton part of this movie too. So you put those guys in front of a mic to be them.
You want
that troll to be Ozzy. You want that troll to be George Clinton. So
yeah.
It's just, do your, vampy wampy, whatever thing you do, and we'll fix it in the mix. I mean, I'm sure they'll do some post-production work on Ozzy's voice.
I just thought it was
probably be a credit in the, the end credit,
Yeah. I thought it was spousal abuse.
I was.
I don't think that is, but.
I was reading the Oakland Press, and you had a lovely article about the new Kids on the Block show.
Mark kissing ass.
The NKTOB, which the review is actually pretty funny reading it. I don't know. To me, it was just... What's that?
The thing I like about New Kids on the Block, you know, in the last three or four shows I've seen, is those guys get it. They know they're in on the joke. They're letting everybody in on the joke, and they're having a ball with it. Well, go ahead.
It's kind of unique how they did it, because you said, like, Tiffany was there, Debbie Gibson, Salt-N-Pepa, and so it was kind of all, you know, the mixtape tour.
They wove them into the show together. It was an opening act, and then New Kids on the Block, which was a lot of fun. I mean, they called it the mixtape tour, and that's what they did. You know, you got like 25 minutes of New Kids, and then you got, thankfully, 3 minutes of Tiffany, and and maybe 5 minutes of Debbie Gibson, and then New Kids again. And then Salt-N-Pepa came on for a little while, and back to New Kids and so forth. It was a really neat way, you know, and so that was for about 2 hours and 20 minutes.
The only thing that was missing in the article to me was, what was the crowd like? What was the crowd makeup at?
I thought I made reference to the screaming, you know, the adults screaming, you know, the adults who screamed like they were kids again while their kids were screaming next to them.
Really? Was it mainly female?
We had a moment in our section where they all come out and they sing at different points of the crowd, and I was in the Joey section. So Joey was six rows in front of me, and I thought that was going to be my last few moments on the Mortal Coil. I thought I was going to be the scene, who was it, Kevin Bacon in Animal House?
Oh yeah!
I thought that was going to be me.
Was the place sold out?
It was pretty packed.
Really? Wow!
It was. You know, they're fans. It'll be similar for Backstreet Boys in, I think it's July.
It
bothers me that I know that.
Well, that's a big show. I like that you pointed out that there was no visible live band on site.
No.
Oh boy.
Whereas past tours, they have had one.
Really?
So I think some accountants sat down and just said, "Well, look, if you want Salt-N-Pepa and Naughty by Nature, we got to cut a few costs, mix the band. You're calling it the mixtape tour anyway."
Hey, look, that makes sense too. Who cares,
Gary?
Well,
what's the Hojo date? Howard Jones? Did that happen, or is that happening?
That was last night.
Okay. Did you hear anything about the show? Did you go?
I heard it was good. I didn't get to go. I had some other thing, actual work to take care of.
I see.
But I heard we did send a photographer, and the pictures look good. And when I saw him at Meadowbrook two summers ago, he was terrific.
I love Hojo.
He sounded great. Great band, and more hits than you realize he had.
Yeah, he had a lot of great songs. And I saw him on it was on YouTube with Nick Kershaw singing. What's Nick Kershaw's big hit?
Wouldn't It Be Good?
Yeah, God, it was really good.
That's a great song.
It was really nostalgic seeing them play it. Nick had an acoustic, and Hojo was doing his thing on the piano, and it was really fantastic. I just loved it. I probably seen it 10 times.
He's kind of held himself well, you know, which a lot of his counterparts from the 80s have not.
Yeah, I mean, I see some of these guys still going out, and I get it, because a lot of these guys, even in their 50s and 60s, you know, they're not making songwriting money the way they used to, so I guess they really need to be out there, don't they?
You need to go out and perform, sure.
Yeah.
I
saw Joe Jackson was at the Michigan Theater a while back, and that would seem like it would have been a great show.
Especially since he was celebrating 40 years that he was concentrating on specific albums from throughout his career, mm-hmm. and all the right ones. That was unfortunately the same night the Who opened in Grand Rapids.
I see. It's funny that Gary remembers who else was playing that night.
Of course, and he's got to coordinate these events.
Doesn't happen all the time, but you know, within 2 months, I can usually remember.
So somebody who doesn't maybe need money so much anymore, but his estate does, is Freddie Mercury has a new single and a video out today, and it's like
it just came out today. It's a new version of an old song.
What is it? A solo release?
I shouldn't say a new version. It's an alternate version. Yeah, one of his solo releases.
Time Waits for No One, and it's produced by Dave Clark.
Wait, not the Stone song?
No.
Okay, it's not another. A cover. Is this an opera-sounding song?
Time Is on My Side.
No, Time Waits. Don't they have Time Waits for No One?
They might have Time Waits for No One.
Time Waits for No One, and it won't wait.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was on Sucking in the 70s, I believe, and it was on an original album, too.
Ooh.
Could be right.
I think I'm going to be right on that one.
I think you are.
Thank you.
His voice sounds really good, but Dave Clark put this together, and the first thing he said about it was, I did not do this because of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I didn't release this because the Bohemian Rhapsody millions.
Well, it is fortunate timing.
Yeah, right. I'm sure it's coincidental.
Yeah, I don't
Just
think
like
this
it's coincidental Adam Lambert releasing a bunch of songs.
Yeah.
You know.
Have you heard anything or seen a preview of the Beatles movie?
That's yesterday? Next week. The press preview is next week.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm even going to skip Willie Nelson to go see that.
Ooh. Wow. Skipping Willie Nelson. Again, yeah. Gary, so many options.
So they are, you know, I'm a pretty girl. I have lots of options.
Well, there are so many ads for that movie.
You didn't have to laugh that hard.
There's so many ads for that movie, and it sounds like it's a pretty big release. And I read a couple articles on people speculating, what would a world be like without the Beatles? Which is a little silly, but nonetheless.
Morning shows need that. And the guy who made it, you know, this is the guy who did Love Actually and Notting Hill and all those really good British movies.
That
so he
Drew
has,
loves.
He has the touch.
Gary loves them. I didn't say that.
You love them. They're all Hugh Grant vehicles.
He's just a cameo.
Hey, the other big music story this week was Garth Brooks showing up for the Hoedown. And we were talking about it. And, of course, we knew you knew ahead of time that it wasn't a surprise to you. But how much ahead of time did you know that Garth Brooks was going to be at the Hoedown?
Like a day, believe it or not.
Really?
A handful of people who did know had to sign non-disclosure agreement.
Ooh.
That's kind of how we knew it was legitimately going to be somebody big.
Yeah.
Was that you know the non-disclosure thing? And when you really thought about it, there were only maybe three or four people it could be, and Garth was top of the list. So I was able to do a little digging the day before and find out.
Gary Logic.
Well,
yep.
You know, the weird thing about that, it was very cool that it was a surprise appearance. I'm sure the people there went nuts, but is Garth Brooks someone you want to surprise people with? I would think they would want to tell the world he was going to be there.
I'm sure they wanted to tell the world to be there, especially since, this was the event, the Hoedown was far from sold out, but that's not what Garth wanted. He just wanted to do, and he would know, too, that there's a big bang in being a surprise.
Yeah.
Than being advertised in advance. He's not worried about selling tickets. He sells stadium.
Well, speaking of people going around and around and around on tour, so it seems, because you got to make a living and maybe you can't get the songwriting money you used to get, Wayne Kramer is still around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think, I don't know that that's as much a function of record selling as this is just what kind of, he's always been a hard touring guy, but what he's doing this week here in Michigan is a little bit different. His memoir that came out last year, The Hard Stuff, was named a Michigan Notable Book. So it's a library award that comes out every year. And part of the deal with that is they have you appear at libraries around the state. So yesterday he was in Sutton Bay. Tonight he is in South Lyon, I think. Something like that. Tomorrow's Hamtramck and Saturday afternoons in Berkeley. And he's reading from the book, playing some songs, talking, Q&A, book signing. It's kind of a cool way. Certainly if you're a Wayne fan or an MC5 fan, it's an up close and personal and free type of thing.
It does seem like Wayne Kramer and the MC5 are getting their due. I mean, a lot of people never get their due, but that band was, I thought, just so forgotten for so long. Not here. But it seems like there are a lot
of
people
the world
recognizing them now. And, of course, the 50th anniversary tour was great, too, and got great reviews. So good for him.
And it's coming back. You know, they're going to be back here on August 30th, the MC50 again.
Cool.
And it's a great thing. And, the book's really good, and Wayne's got a lot of interesting stories to tell. His life story is a lot of interesting stories. So it'll be nice to see him, in that up close and personal way.
Gary, have you seen the Netflix documentary, the Bob Dylan Scorsese documentary?
Oh yeah, that's pretty phenomenal too. Dylan likes Scorsese. Who wouldn't, right?
Yeah.
But he really seems to dig Scorsese, and he tells Scorsese. If you go back to the No Direction Home documentary, that's probably the single best Bob Dylan interview that ever happened is in that movie.
Huh.
And so he gives Scorsese a lot of room to make his movies about Bob Dylan. And so they're really genuinely illuminating.
Hmm. Gary, I thought Dylan looked so loose on stage in this thing.
Oh yeah, he was.
I mean,
this whole thing was like a, you know, it was just a lark. Like, let's get a bunch of our friends together and
just show
go
up
on stage and see what happens. And it's, you know, it was some nights it was brilliant, other nights it was crap. Some nights it was brilliant for a minute, and then it was crap. You know, they just put out this box set that has, I think, 10 of the shows or something on it. So, you know, you can really hear what it was like. And, yeah, he had a great cast of characters, and he and Joan Baez were duetting together again.
Mm. I thought the clips they had of the live music, I was enjoying it. I didn't know a lot of the songs, but I thought it was great. And, of course, Allen Ginsberg is there. Yeah. There's a lot of on-the-road type of clips. And it was a lot of fun for me to watch. I love Bob Dylan. I don't know if somebody who isn't a Bob Dylan fan would love it, but I did.
Yeah, well, there's enough, you know, with all the artists who are part of that, there's enough portals for virtually everybody. If you're a rock, you know, big rock fan, Mick Ronson's in there.
Oh, yeah.
As part of the band. You know, and you have Roger McGuinn from the Byrds and, cool, you know, an early T-Bone Burnett, which is pretty funny.
Huh. Did you happen to see the ire of Vince Neil has been provoked by Reels?
Oh, yeah.
Putting out a documentary about Motley Crue?
I saw somebody in Motley Crue was unhappy about it.
Vince was because he's like, they told the story wrong.
Yeah, it means that they told the truth.
Yeah. Because he's mad that they claimed that the band was broken up by his going into motor sports, which I don't understand.
That would not be entirely correct. I would side with him on that.
It wouldn't be correct, and he probably doesn't want to bring up the fact that he flamed out as a race car driver and any other kind of a driver.
Yeah, he killed someone.
Or any kind of sports entrepreneur.
I know. Why why would he?
Or as a singer, for that matter.
Yeah, Vince Neil, I was just, when Trudy brought that up, I thought, in what way could Vince Neil be portrayed that would be worse than the way he portrays himself? He killed someone in a car accident. He goes on Rockline and many other places just drunk off his ass. He's beating up a girl in Las Vegas, and Nicolas Cage is breaking it up. I mean, there's so many horrible things about him. And by the way, going into auto racing after you've killed someone drunk driving, it just seems like a bad call.
It's a bad look.
Yeah, it is a bad look.
That's just gauche.
Oh, boy. Finally, Brian emailed me and said, would you please ask Gary Graff? And I think I know the answer to this. So it's not coming from me. Just wanted you to know. Not that I don't blame Brian for being a fan. He wondered if the Violent Femmes have any shot at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I would say an outside. You know, I'd put him at the racetrack. I'd put him probably in the 30s, the one right now. But you never know. At some point, it's going to dry up. The pool of nominees is going to dry up enough that we'll be able to consider some of these deserving bands that just haven't gotten over the hump. I think we need it with the Rock Hall. We need a generation of the nominating committee to retire, and then you'll start to see some of these very, very popular, kind of on the edge bands, you know, start to get real consideration and maybe get in.
Yeah, there was some really cool music being made during that period that I think you just... Well, I always complain that you don't hear on the radio, but they were a great band. What about the Dead...
Well, and they continue to be a good band.
They are. Somebody else asked me about the Dead Kennedys, too.
Oh.
In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
I didn't think so. Not gonna happen, and for no other reason than the music was crap. they were an interesting band for a minute.
Yeah,
but you can't defend them musically.
Well, the name is certainly gives them attention, but
the name, and they did have a political stance at the time. But you know, I mean, at the heart of it, to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the music still needs to be of a certain quality.
Well, the name, I would say, we brought up Vic Morrow's Head the other day. Those two names, it's hard to make people take a second gander more than Vic Morrow's Head and the Dead Kennedys.
Right.
They should tour together.
But anyway, Gary.
That would be fun.
Have a great weekend. Thanks as always.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you soon.
I'll send you pictures of me in the diaper.
Please do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye, Gary.
See you.
Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Alrighty.
Hey.
Did this album have like a revival in the early 90s? Because this was huge when I was in high school.
I thought it's had a couple revivals, actually. It's a great album.
It really is, but I was just like, why this album? Why then? It's just kind of weird.
Yeah, I know. It is strange how that happens.
They're coming to town in August with Ben Folds. Yeah.
Wow, that's Meadowbrook. Interesting, Bill.
It got bigger in the mid-90s, too, when Gross Point Blank came out. And...
Oh, really?
It was oh, that's right.
Yeah, this song was big on that.
This whole album's really good, though.
With John Cusack?
Let me go on.
Yep. Songs about me. Big hands.
Are you beating off a lot?
Big hands. Huge hands.
Have you checked in on John Cusack, or are you completely out of his social media now?
I refollowed him and unfollowed him again. He's just too busy. I just can't take all the tweets.
Let's see, what has he been tweeting about?
Oh, guess.
Trump.
Does anyone believe that David Ortiz was not the intended target of the shooter?
No. I've not even talked to anybody who doesn't believe that.
I think maybe they should clarify why he gave her a car the day before he was shot.
She needed a ride.
He gave her a car.
Well, I know. It's just easier than lending it, you know, to get it back.
You know, big papi.
Should they suggest maybe that someone else gave her two cars that day and that they were the target and they got the registrations confused or something?
So the guy that was the quote-unquote alleged target was his friend that was sitting with him? So that just raises more questions.
Well,
why is he hanging out with a guy who's ahead of a crime syndicate based in Mexico?
Well, Poppy was friendly to a lot of people, wasn't he?
Everybody, apparently.
He's a very friendly guy.
Why do they cover for him, though?
Because he's Big Poppy. He has that much money. Hero. By the way, there's another sick person in the DR. Did they die? I just saw the story today. I can't even remember if they died or not.
I don't know, but
a new sick person, not Melissa Rycroft, another one.
But now there's all these stories that's like, hey, that's totally normal, the amount of people that have died in the Dominican Republic.
I wondered about that. I do get stuck on this couple that die together within 24 hours. That just doesn't happen that often. But
it's the manner of how these people are dying.
Yeah. It's certainly interesting. I don't really trust them to tell us why they really died either. That's the other problem.
It's got to be the alcohol, doesn't it? Don't you think that it's...
It seems like it.
It's got to be that, well, you know, that endless supply of alcohol they put in your room when you have the...
All-inclusive.
Yeah.
Not only that, you've got the stories where people... and I remember the one couple who were at the poolside bar, and... They had two drinks or something, and the next thing you know, they passed out, and they were out for, 24 hours, and they woke up. They had no idea what had happened. I think the girl had been sexually abused, and their money was gone, and,
Really?
It's like, what? And then those stories were coming up, and those were trips to, I think they were Caribbean places and Mexican places.
Mexico was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, so... Scary.
Which that just kind of fizzled out. So Mexico's cool to go to now, I guess.
You feel like you're safe at a resort because you can, the gates are locked and they've got security there. And you think, hey, if I never leave the resort, nothing can happen to me. And then when it happens in a resort, it is.
They have a pretty big incentive to keep you safe.
Yeah, sure they do.
Do they? Because aren't they a bunch of people who go home to like a shit place and?
Well, oh, the workers maybe, but the resort and the people that own
wouldn't they want you to be safe? People after a while. I mean, especially after tourism season, how you have all these.
Yeah,
like,
I think some
slum
American. What are you talking about? American tourists are fine.
Well, no, they're great.
I remember going to. Oh, God, was it sandals? And they tell you not to tip. They tell you do not tip the people. And, of course, people, they are real friendly. You're having fun. It feels like they're on vacation.
Yeah.
They're good at what they do. And so you feel compelled to tip them.
Sure.
And people were tipping them like crazy. And they were always like, hey, tip me on the down low. Don't tip me in front. And so, there's all that. But I found that they generally liked people from here because they insisted on tipping them. A lot of people did.
Oh, like Europeans probably don't.
Maybe not. I'm not sure. I just got the feeling that there were a lot of Americans and they wanted to do something for them.
Don't you tip it? Like in any situation where like, don't tip. You're not supposed to tip. But it's one of those where you typically would. Don't you still
I'm not
tip?
A rule follower. You're telling me I can't tip? I'm going to tip, damn it. Today, there was... I hate to even talk about it because I just don't like talking about it. I'm sick of it. But I have to admit, the presidential campaign is getting a little bit interesting. And we were having a conversation before the show about Joe Biden because Joe Biden is just getting piled on from all sides because he...
Sleepy Joe. He's a sleepy guy.
Because he dealt with Herman Talmadge and another, I believe it was a rep or senator, who were segregationists at one point.
Welcome to the world, Joe.
And Joe said, well, we wanted to win some legislation, so yeah, I dealt with them. My civil rights record stands for itself. And I demand an apology from Cory Booker. Well, Cory Booker immediately demanded an apology from Joe Biden for demanding an apology from Cory Booker. Because Cory Booker was blasting him for bargaining, negotiating with segregationists, or being friends with segregationists, or creating legislation with segregationists.
Cory Booker was mad because he used the word boy, which is not the best word to use, but he was quoting what the guy said to him 40 years ago.
Well, this is what makes me crazy.
Doesn't make any sense.
I feel like this story, this is what I hate, is when the story is presented as, look at this dispute between these two people, when I feel like it's, look at this bullshit.
Yeah.
This is insane. Well, he's passing legislation. He's known to have been involved in segregation, or not segregation, but legislation on civil rights. Look at his record. And he's saying he shouldn't have said this word when he's quoting someone. That's the story. This is a ridiculous accusation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're quoting someone, I guess unless it's the N-word, but he's quoting him.
Drew, how about the fact that his original point that Biden wanted to make fell on deaf ears because he just talked about two segregationists?
Well, Kamala Harris then piled on.
But his point was, he was right. His point was, yeah, you used to disagree with these people, but you had to work with them, which doesn't happen now.
Well, this idea that, you know, you disagree with someone about something, and granted, that's not just something, but, you know, the feeling now is that, well, we just do nothing. We get nothing done because I stand in my corner, you're standing in your corner. Well, you know, there were people like Tip O'Neill and others who found a way to at least create compromise. And if you ask the general public, I think all of them would say, God damn it, can't we have an infrastructure bill? Damn it, can't we figure out health care? Damn it, can't we do something with this? Or at least something in the middle?
Facebook.
And it's always, no, we can't, because nothing gets done anymore, because if we disagree, we just yell at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
or make it about something else, which is what happened now.
Didn't the guy change his stripes too down the road? I mean, wasn't he?
Oh, well, they have to, they do. And it used to be able, you could do that. Now you can't even do that.
Then you're
unless you're a Bella Thorne.
This guy can't have to do negotiate anything. His way out of a paper bag.
That's why AOC always, you know, it's never a big deal when she says something outrageous, because she's hot. And maybe she's in the Bella Thorne category.
Sure. Strom Thurmond, didn't he also change his point of view on some things?
Oh, absolutely.
Along the way.
George Wallace won the black vote in Alabama.
Wow.
So.
Which is,
are you saying
kind of
people
incredible.
Can change?
So, anyway, the topic on top of that story was about reparations. And I really felt like, is this something the Dems want to get behind? Because I don't, you know, it's like debating
it's not a winning topic.
Is border security, is that still a winning topic? If I ran on it in 2016 and never achieved what I said I was going to achieve, I don't think I'd run on it again. But Trump is determined to do it, and I don't know if it's going to work for him or not. We'll find out. But reparations seems to be, and I actually consulted a poll that said 32% said they would still support a candidate supporting reparations, which tells me that they're going, well, I'm not crazy about it, but I'd still support a person. It's not something that will make me change my vote. Well, if 68% wouldn't support a candidate who is for reparations, I don't think that's a good sign. 21% said that we should pay reparations. However, how much of that is the minority populace? Is that just one group of people? 21%. I mean, if you assume 13% of the population is African American and they're going to support reparations, I assume that. I don't know that. But it seems to me you don't have a lot beside that group. If you're super serving one group at the expense of another group, I don't know if that. It just didn't seem like a winning issue to me. But, of course, they're going to study it.
Well, you got to study because you got to figure out, you know, how do you prove, who gets what, how much.
And
Does O.J. Simpson get reparations? It seems kind of ridiculous.
O.J., by the way.
You know what I mean, though?
Did he
I mean, is my car paying for everything? I pay for everything around here, right?
Does Diddy get reparations? I mean, Diddy's doing pretty well.
Why not?
Doesn't it, in the end up like a class action lawsuit where you get $1.32?
Well, that's my fear is that
nobody's
gonna
people
are going to expect a lot, and they're going to get, you know, $1,000.
$3
and then $1,000, and then you're not supposed to complain about anything anymore. I don't know if that flies either, because they're going to say, well, I'll take the $1,000, but that doesn't mean, and I just think it's going to create
That's the class action law. You take this money, you're never allowed to complain again.
Shut up about slavery already, because we're even. But the fact is, there's one alive who has held a slave, and no one who's been a slave who's alive. Well, so it's a tricky topic, too, asking taxpayers to pay for something that was done a long time ago. They're not responsible for. They don't feel responsible for it. Now, some people do feel responsible for it. So I don't know. I just don't think it's a winning topic for the Dems.
We have so much money, we don't know what to do with it.
And I don't know that attacking Joe Biden is so great too, because I'm inclined to think he'll be the nominee. But maybe if they beat him up badly enough, maybe he won't be a candidate. I don't know. Hunter Biden is going to be a mess, though.
Hunter Biden,
that is a fucking disaster. Well, let's start with 7:42 on Good Morning America. This story. I've been reading about this for a long time and wondering, why is this never a story? Because it seems like nobody's really talking about it too much. But, oh boy, Good Morning America dug in today. And I see that reporters are now asking him about it, because Joe,
I'm sure he'll
stench
have a
on Hunter
answer.
Biden would seem to me to stick to Joe Biden, because he's on a board in a country
An energy company.
A company that he has no experience in, and why are we throwing millions of dollars at Hunter Biden? Well, it seems that, you know, his father was vice president, and that would seem like it has a lot to do with it. Hard to believe it doesn't.
It's a question we tried to ask repeatedly.
Can we ask you about Ukraine and China?
But kept getting blocked. Questions about foreign deals his son Hunter Biden pursued.
My father, Joe Biden.
In countries where Joe Biden was working as America's top diplomat. In 2014, Ukrainians, sick of corruption, revolted. Vice President Joe Biden went to Kiev to help the new government.
You have to fight the cancer of corruption.
But then something strange happened. Just 3 weeks later, a Ukrainian natural gas company, Burisma, accused of corruption, appoints Hunter Biden, seen here in their promotional videos, to their board of directors, paying his firm more than $1 million a year. Hunter, a lawyer who had just been discharged from the Navy Reserves for testing positive for cocaine.
Oh,
Mr. Hunter Biden.
He had served on other boards, but had no known experience in Ukraine or natural gas. We went to Kiev and found even among Joe Biden supporters in Ukraine, Hunter's hiring was troubling.
How do you judge what Hunter Biden was doing?
I think that Hunter Biden did a very bad thing, and he was very wrong. He allowed his name to be abused.
And Ukraine wasn't the only country where Hunter Biden's business and his father's diplomacy as vice president intersected. It also happened in China.
This video shows Chinese diplomats greeting Vice President Biden as he arrived in Beijing in December of 2013. Right by his side, his son Hunter. Less than 2 weeks later, Hunter's firm had new business, creating an investment fund in China involving the government-controlled Bank of China, with reports they hope to raise $1.5 billion. Hunter still plays a role in the fund. His lawyer says his stake is worth about $500,000. Both Hunter and his lawyers say he never discussed any of his overseas work with his father. But a critic of the current president and his children's business dealings says this.
He should have encouraged his son to not take these positions.
Biden's campaign team told us that the vice president acted at all times in a manner consistent with well-established executive branch ethics standards.
One person who did not want to talk about it,
Joe Biden.
Mr. Vice President, what's your take on that? Was there a conflict of interest there? Was there a clear conflict of interest? Now, in response to our questions, the Biden campaign, for the first time, is announcing if he's elected, he will invoke a new ethics policy on his first day in office that would empower White House lawyers to monitor for any types of conflicts of interest.
How's that now, for Hunter fast Biden, action?
I never thought they were going to get caught. We caught him. Great sleuth.
Well, now that they've taken advantage of it in every possible way.
Yeah, now he's made a couple billion. How about he returns all the money that he made?
That'd be a good idea.
Right. That's never going to happen. Dad, don't run for president then.
No, it's not going to happen.
He's also got that little issue to deal with.
Well,
that's
okay.
A bunch of malarkey.
Malarkey.
Not only, you know, you would think you would not put a guy on a board who's just been thrown out for cocaine abuse. That would seem like
stand
a bad
up,
idea.
Joe. It's a good job.
Plus, he's got no experience in the field, and he seems
he's a lawyer.
Really kind of messy. But then there's the thing where his brother dies, and he's banging. The brother takes his last breath, and the tip of his penis is in her, literally within a minute. He's refracting within 2 minutes.
Yeah.
He's not that hot, either.
He thinks he's hot. He definitely thinks he's hot.
Was she hot, though? I mean, she nailed, but she got both by her.
She's kind of hot, yeah.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
He got tired of her, though, and when they broke up, he married another girl 4 weeks later. The 29-year-old.
So smoking hot.
Who is very hot. And then in the middle of, about a year into the Biden wife, his sister-in-law, and in about a year into the banging her, and he's banging her for 2 years, he impregnated another woman who's now.
Take a look at her. She's a slob.
God.
Apparently, he's not paying child support.
His dick is out of control.
This is a 28-year-old who had a child in August of 2018 when he was living with Beau's widow.
She's a goofus.
Over a year at that point. So he knocked her up while he was with the widow. So this guy seems like a pretty major piece of shit to me.
Well, he likes the ladies.
I like the ladies. He likes stealing
money.
So does
Trump. I mean, what?
Yeah. And he's Joe's son, so, you know, whatever.
Well, no, but this is what's going to bring him down, because the Democrats will eat their own.
Well, I don't think they'll eat him up over Hunter. The foreign deals, though, that's cool.
Yeah.
That'll get a lot of talk.
Or this one.
You cannot go to a 7-Eleven or a Dunkin' Donuts unless you have a slight Indian accent.
Oh, was that Hunter?
Ooh,
was that Joe?
Oh, that was Joe.
Oh,
was years
boy.
Ago.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Nice going, Joe.
Okay.
I guess that's a hate crime, right?
Hey, has anybody watched the Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston thing on Netflix?
God, no.
They're claiming 31 million people have watched it.
Worldwide?
I don't know. Probably.
Is
wherever
that
Netflix
just,
has watched.
Could it be like... One person who watched it 31 million times?
31 million accounts.
Oh, different accounts?
Yeah, different accounts. But, of course, we're all on Brandon's account. And, by the way, Brandon, could you stay off at nighttime? Because sometimes I have trouble getting into your Netflix.
Are you serious?
Yeah, a couple times. Not recently, but just keep that in mind.
Because I pay a premium because I have so many people on my account that I had to get more screens.
Well, it hasn't happened in a while, but I just that word of warning.
That's why I had to get more screens, because here I was paying for it. And then I couldn't get on it.
Well, I appreciate that you got the more screens.
Call
my
mom. Hey, Ma, get off Netflix, bro. Get off there, Ma.
I pay for everything around here. Ooh, I'll kill you, Drew.
Have you guys seen the OJ's Twitter has just been on
fire. Oh, it's awesome.
I
checked
it today. New tweet?
It is? Oh, man.
Did he actually send, are there messages sent from him with knives?
No.
Those aren't his knife emojis?
I do want to say this,
though. Is that not his account?
No. There's a different one. There's the real O.J. Simpson. There's the real Zero J. Simpson.
Zero J. Okay.
But, you know, we were reading some of the responses because they're really funny.
Oh, I know they are.
And so we're like, God, do you think he sees these or no? And then we looked at his likes, and he liked every serious reply to him, like about fantasy football. So he sees every comment to his Twitter.
Wow, he's got a lot of people to murder.
I don't know. My list is getting long, Trudy.
He's not threatening anyone?
No, he hasn't. He hasn't been threatening anyone.
I'm just saying he had some people to get even with.
Congratulations.
So it's like Mark was saying. He's the real OJ32. And so what a lot of people did was they made an account that said the real, but the L is a 1, or the O is a 0, or they put 2 L's. So they made so many different parody accounts right out of the gate that it just kind of got out of control. One of them had like 30,000 followers.
Wow.
That's how...
That's pretty cool.
People just don't... And he doesn't have a blue check mark yet, so people can't really verify. Even though he has 770,000 followers.
770,000. So he's still... Oh, boy.
But the new tweet today... He just said, "Hey, good luck, Christian Wade. Looking forward to watching you with the Bills. You got
oh great.
You got two of the best to learn from Frank Gore and
see he is trying to become running back OJ again.
Shady McCoy.
And someone replied is somehow I'm not surprised you're into Gore. the other guys, yeah, the other
there's
guys.
There's a lot of smart ass.
Oh, they're so. I'm sorry, they're just funny. Yeah.
Well, read a few of them.
You know, this one isn't inspiring. Some of the really funny ones. The one yesterday about somebody asked me the best advice I ever got. Did we read the responses to that?
I think so.
Yeah. Were there more?
Oh, we did read them.
I don't know if we read them.
We read them on the show. Some.
What inspired you to do this, Orenthal? Which is the and then they just posted the picture of the crime scene.
Keep up with the killer content, OJ. You're slaying this Twitter.
How's your golf game? Struggling with a slice. I like the one too where he had all the different gloves, and one was the actual murdering glove. What glove should I use, OJ?
That was very clever.
OJ, my wife left her sunglasses at a restaurant. Should someone bring them to her, or should I kill her? Let me know. Thanks, buddy.
Hey, OJ, the Bills are going to just murder the competition this year, right?
OJ thought sliced bread wasn't quite the best thing ever, so he started slicing people. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
I'm so glad, and I'm so glad. I'm sure his family's delighted he's on Twitter, so their accounts can all be mauled by assholes.
See, is he following anybody new, Juice? You know what? He is. He's following Twitter support and Twitter verified.
Yeah, he's trying to get verified.
Yeah.
What if he gets verified before you?
He will. I guarantee it.
And how?
I get verified? What's the problem?
Yeah, but does Twitter determine how the verification is worded? Or
I don't know.
Like American murderer or...
Oh, for that, from this a former Heisman Trophy winner?
Yeah.
Dad? You think the Bills are thrilled that Juice follows them? Or were they just leave us out of this?
They're
Juice?
Probably so tired of it by now.
He follows the NFL. He follows USC. He follows at Heisman Trophy. He follows the Heisman Trophy.
Hey, Brandon, are we going to get the Mike Clark, the flying discussion with the Pendergast family?
Yeah, we'll get that on for
okay.
Best Stuff.
Oh, cool, okay. Because we were trying to get it on yesterday, and it was too last minute, and so... Anyway, it was I did get to listen to quite a bit of it. It is pretty funny. Mike was quite animated once we got deep into it. Scott Kunath brings you the best of. Whether you're selling your home or buying your first home, it should not be a stressful situation. Scott's got many, many years of advertising and sales experience. And, of course, being the rising star at Coldwell Banker Weir Manuel.
Scott!
He's had quite a lot of success. In fact, the last couple of months, he's just burning it up. And yesterday... He sold a house the first day it was on the market at well above the price.
Whoa.
Very nice.
Wow.
So, Scott, would love to hear from you, or if you want to refer someone to Scott, please do. In fact, he's gotten a couple great referrals from people, so thank you for that. 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746. Feel free to text Scott. Feel free to talk in drops. He's on our Facebook sometimes. Or you can email Scott Kunath at skunath, SKUNNATH, at CBWM. It's a busy time for real estate, so hopefully it keeps up for Scott. Good for him. And let's see. There's this story out of Pontiac, which is getting a lot of interest. I wasn't that fascinated by it. It's kind of interesting. The guy won a $30 million lottery.
Oh, I saw your tweet on that.
He was separated from his wife for 2 years at the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he felt that, well, we're separated. I should be able to keep this.
Sure.
You know, within 2 years. And what happened was, in their separation agreement, they both agreed to let an arbitrator, which means it was very contentious. Mm-hmm. They decided an arbitrator should decide. We can't agree on anything.
Other,
yes. So... the arbitrator
Why
will decide.
Don't you just file for divorce?
And the arbitrator decided that she should get half. So he gets $15 million and she gets $15
million. That's bullshit.
He's probably getting a kickback, that arbitrator.
You know, I was surprised how often this comes up. There's been many, many lottery wins. You know, some are smaller, of course. It might be $100,000, but, you know, $100,000's a lot to split.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of difference in states, but generally assets gained after separation but before the actual divorce, can go 50-50 if the divorce isn't final. Here's the other interesting thing. In many cases, the closer to the actual separation, the more the ex gets. In other words, if you've been separated for 2 days, she'll probably get half.
Wow, really?
If you've been separated for 6 months, she might get, you know, 20%.
Is that state of Michigan?
My ex-wife is destroying my name.
I don't know. I'm not sure how Michigan rules on that, but it is very different from state to state.
Huh. Jesus.
But, yeah, 2 years, and he thought, apparently, he was quite certain he was going to get all of this, and not so fast. But $15 million ain't
bad. I was going to say, I hope he'll be okay, even after taxes. What's he going to have, like $6 million, $7
million? I imagine.
Divorce.
All right.
I know a friend.
I just don't know why she gets it, though. I mean, why not give it to his neighbor because they live next door? I mean, they had no relationship is the point.
Here's a good one. Well, it also can affect child support. This is even if you're divorced. You're divorced 5 years and you've got three little kids or three kids, 10, 12, 14. If he comes into a giant asset like that, it can dramatically alter child support. And they said in many cases, alimony too.
Really?
So, you never stop paying. Yeah. You're always paying somebody.
Yeah.
The last person you want to pay, but you're going to pay somebody.
Hey,
so,
how does that work with that marriage at first sight? Do they just sign is there a prenup that the TV show puts forward?
That's a great question. And one that's very applicable to many people in our audience, I'm sure.
Sorry.
It's funny. It's a funny idea. I know. I had a lot of questions watching that show last night. And it's interesting to see these people meet each other for the first time. They're literally getting married and try and guess, I wonder how these people get along. Because there were a couple I read who I said, I don't know, she's trouble. And there was another one that I just thought this dude was a real wild card.
Do they consummate it, too?
Well, this was, I thought, really weird. This guy, a 27-year-old black guy, good-looking guy. He was seemed like a...
You like what you see, huh?
Yeah, I did. I like what I saw. He seemed like a really good guy. And she was same age, and she was cute. She's a good-looking girl. But she was a virgin. And,
oh, yeah.
And she made quite an ordeal about being a virgin, and I just thought, oh, there's no way she's putting out the first night. Because I've seen this show before, and there's many people that don't put out the night they're married because they just met him.
Stella Stranger, yeah.
Ew.
So anyway,
well, you know, by her creed, though, waiting for marriage, she waited for marriage.
I know. His mother was reminding him, though, that she was a virgin, which I thought was really weird. Like, why are you talking about this? It's gross.
Mom.
And the girl's friends were like, what are your expectations?
What's none of your business?
I know. That's what I said.
I don't know if you ought to tell them friends that, but...
That lottery case, though, I bet you there's a lot of people have stories like this.
It's crazy.
Reminded me of a friend of mine who his mother died, and he got a significant chunk of money, very significant, he bought a second, like a vacation home.
Yeah.
And about 3 months later, and I think it was a surprise to him.
You're not going to believe this. We have audio of him.
Oh, wow.
Money's no problem for me. I've come into a little nest egg. My mother died.
That's him.
You just described that situation from Baskets. That drop is...
Money's no problem for me. I've come into a little nest egg. My mother died.
I think he's sad and happy at the same time.
His drops are so funny.
Oh, yeah. New season, too. One episode down.
Anyway, he bought this...
That was gross.
Sorry. You saw his chocolate on my finger.
Do not edit that out, Brandon. No. If anything, make it louder.
Just bleep it.
No, make it louder.
He bought this place, and, you know, it's a vacation home. So about 3 months later, I think it was determined they really weren't getting along that great, and they decided to get divorced. So she said at the time, well, I know you just got that lump of money from your parents, bought that. I'm not going to contest that. Well, anyway, when the attorneys met about 2 months later, it came back that, oh, she's entitled to half of that. It's like, what? Huh? Yeah. And he had to sell it, pay her half.
Really?
Yes.
You know what that is, though?
Wow.
The attorneys.
Property. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and she changed her mind, too.
Well, changed her mind, I bet.
The disturbing part, his attorney didn't change his mind. The disturbing part of the story is that her parents died about 5 or 6 years later, and they had a lot more money. And he didn't get any of it.
Oh. What?
No, he didn't. Oh. Yeah. Wow. Kind of a bum rap. He's a little bitter.
Yeah. I can see why.
There's a lot of bitter.
Yeah.
But, you know, shit happens. I'm sure there's worse. Yeah. So, you want to get us out of here, Brandon? Hall Financial Hotline shutting down? I remember mentioning, did I mention the Hall Financial Hotline when it opened?
You know what? I don't know if it ever opened.
What?
Yeah, because
was it broken?
No, I was going to open it, and then someone started playing music over the for Bob Page.
Oh, sorry.
It's Mark's fault.
I see.
It's not really on the Hall Financial Hotline. I mean, that's on Skype. It could be sponsored by
Skype. We will
else,
be fine.
Skype. And how did the Gary window?
Gary Graff.
Gary was just bolted on.
He's got so many phone lines, I don't think the Hall Financial Hotline knows how to open. But anyway, click the link to Hall Financial on our website and fill out the online form. They will get back to you quickly. Or you can go to drewandmike.hallfg.com and call them at 248-308-5000. If you want to save money on a refi, don't call Hall Financial. Now, if you don't want to save money, I mean,
right.
If you don't want to save money, do not call Hall Financial because they will probably save you money.
If you hate saving money.
Yeah, if you hate money.
What are you going to do with all that money?
Exactly. It's a responsibility to figure out what to do with found money. There was another interesting story today. Never really got a chance to talk about it, but I thought it was a great story. The school shooting in New Mexico where they're charging the parents.
That's what you've been asking for.
Awesome.
I have been. I've been saying if there's a 15-year-old in the house, they should not have access to a gun. They shouldn't.
Completely
why
negligence.
Do they have access to a gun?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what contributing to delinquency of a minor. They had been warned that this kid had talked about shooting up school, and they still didn't bother to secure the weapon. So, I don't know. That one isn't even close to me. And I say no more guns for you, for the father.
All of them.
Or for whoever owned the gun. Yeah, all of them. No more guns for you.
Seriously,
but of course, we know that won't happen.
Seriously, Sister Shell thought the dad married way out of his league. She's not that hot, but she's still way out of his league. Did you see them?
I didn't see the couple.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wait. Here, there's a picture. You see.
Wait, really? Those two?
What? That's she married him?
Yeah. Uh-huh. She's 48. He's 62.
Wow. She looks pretty. I mean, she's not a knockout.
Oh,
but
she's not bad.
But
he's
repulsive.
A slob.
He's got to be loaded. All right. See you in the best of. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You look worse than that Rocky Dennis kid from Mask.